Riders, Rangers, and Rebels. Chagrin Shinobi is a legendary underground toy reviewer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is Jedimon.
Hello and welcome to Riders, Rangers, and Rambles episode 50.
I wake the Kevin. It's the new Riders, Rangers, and Rambles special.
He's awake this Saturday, guys.
I know, right? It's so good. I'm awake and the stuff in the junk.
Steady!
Then I got the Jello pudding pop.
Let's just hope the little bitch tits actually stays awake.
Bitch tits.
Look at your shank.
Oh, squeaky chair and bitch tits.
In the corner. Pounding away at Gao Lion's face on the floor.
That's how you get shit done.
Yeah. Now that you can practice taking your sting apart into about 30 million pieces and putting it back together like Soundout did.
That's also fun. I hate Sting so much.
You're so hilarious.
So, let's just one upsies this bitchies.
It's just ones the ups?
Let's just put on our onesies, alright?
Oh, she's not gonna have one.
Oh my gosh. Thank God.
Not yet, anyway.
Let's start the one up. Somebody start it, because I'm not starting because
okay,
I declare that I'm not starting. Yeah, I went first last time. Probably not, though.
Brian's the official ones up starters.
Fine. Whatever.
Why are we adding S's to everything? Wells.
Wells.
I'm just going to add S's to everything.
Because it's the cool things to do.
Doozies.
Skadoozies. Skadoozies. Did you make your doo-doos?
Yes, I did. I don't know what's up. I got a bunch of Transformers and Portal 2 last week. One of which I can't play online. But that's a different story.
We're trying
for a different
to separate
day.
Me and Brian.
And then Monday, the apocalypse happened. And I woke up, and then in my living room was 5 boxes.
5? Oh, God.
5. The vlog will be up on Sunday. But,
I can't wait.
I was going to put
up.
I
still haven't waved to future me.
Sorry. Keep forgetting. I was going to put it up, like, right on Monday and just move the reviews over. But I decided to wait just in case, like, I managed to get a metal set or a meta gabbery. I can inform people.
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
So what did I get on Monday? I got everything. I got a Tepig sandwich package featuring
Tepig sandwich.
Gao Lion.
It's gonna be a pig night.
Got Gao Lion, figure arts, Rator Ta, and the vinyl Shinken Red Mandrake package with the Petros phone, since they split it up, a box with the Zambat sword. Then I got another Mandrake package with Figure Arts Rising Titan Kuga and CAX because of a certain someone.
Certain hobag scalper.
Not having mine. And then I think, well, that was 1, 2, 3. What was the fourth one? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and then the other one was from the ScrewAttack.com store. It was Brental Floss's G-rated / karaoke track pack.
Screw Attack?
Yay, Brental Floss. What?
Screw you say Attack. ScrewAttack.com?
Yeah, it's a video game.
I'm afraid
site.
To type that in. Oh, sorry.
It's a very popular video game site.
Damn, Brian, that's a lot of shit.
It was a lot of shit. It was more impressive when it was 5 big boxes.
It was
a lot of shit. So that's really it. I'm currently working on a research paper. So if you hear coming from my end, ignore it.
And if you hear from my end, pretend it's Brian's. I'm not talking to Spider Vic. What? Since my face isn't toast, except with these antics.
I'm also finishing typing the review for Gutlion. So.
Like, I hate you, you faggot. You're a faggot. Fuck you.
Do those at the same time, then I'd love to see them like mix. You're like, and then the settlers headed to the lovely Animarium, in which all the power animals frolicked. Alright. I'll go next, unless Brian has more to talk about.
Nope, that'd be it with me.
Okay. So's, I'm not gonna add any more S's, because it's annoying. I didn't get any epic boxes yet. I did get my awesome shirt from the shirt store. So now I have an epically cool, like, violet Geki Ranger hoodie and, like, epic sports shirt and pants from Geki Ranger so I can look like a weird superhero trainee when I'm out jogging. And I have a cool Gosei Knight shirt so I can be all like, protect the planet. It's my turn. And your opponent is me. And I have this cool Shinken Red shirt. And I think that's it for the shirts. But they're all cool. You should go buy them right now. And nothing else in the mail, but I got three tubes of Pokemon figures, black and white, from Toys R Us because I had them.
Does that complete the first set?
Yeah, you get an extra Pikachu though.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah, because that's.
I think it's the cheapest way of doing things. I think.
Yeah, it still is. I did the math on it, and I rarely do math, so. But I was like, wait a minute, there's an extra figure. I'm like, oh wait, I have two different Pikachus.
Once I cash my check and Google pays me, I'm gonna go buy the tubes.
Yeah, because that's what they had, all they had at my first store. They had those and then those weird, like, action pose thingies, and their plushies were, like, rated. Like, the only two they had were in the Diamond and Pearl plush box, and the other one was thrown across the room. I have no idea what the fuck happened. But, and then I went to the other Toys R Us. It was, like, 15 minutes away, and they had every single plush except the one that I want, which is Sandile. So, but I got those three, and I'm waiting on Oki package with Cyclone X Lookstream and Titan and a magazine and my Rotor Tasha from HLJ, and they accepted my payment for the white Butcher Beetleborg. So they're safe to order from as backup if you don't get it from Nail Polish. And I think that's it. On to Kevin.
Okay, so I also got the Pokemons. You're a cock.
You're right.
So I also got the Pokemons. My Toys R Us didn't have tubes.
Hey, guess what you didn't get?
What? So I didn't get tubes because mine didn't have tubes. So I got three packs because I didn't want to, like, risk not getting them ever because the way my Toys R Us stocks. And I got two foam balls, a great ball and a repeat ball. So I got some balls.
Is amazing.
Mine didn't have plushies. Well, new ones. They had like Celebi and Papini. That's enough out of you, sir. You know, so that you're a faggot. So, well, as this idiot just said, my Galarian, from Chuck Cheese Balls is not here yet, but when just this roaring. Goes up, it will be here, and it is awesome. I did, however, get my Oki package, which had Rising Titan, who is the sex, and I had the magazines with the Ghost Slayer Red and Aquaranger keys, so those are awesome. Then I also had in there some Shinkanger Kleenex. I don't know where that came from.
That was epic. We have to title an episode Meow at some point now.
He meows. He's so cute.
And then I also had some vinyls.
He's still going.
The Five and Legend. Cheating. M&M's, bitch. The Five Legend Magis. And then the Five Deccas, Doogie. Meow. Deca Break and a Deca Master that's going to the Shuquen Shinobos. And then on Saturday,
God damn it, chair.
Dawson and I, we pre-ordered Metal Set. We went pre-order. We bought Metal pre-order. We ordered Metal Set 4 from the CS Toys.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Shuquen Shinobi did not purchase one, so we can take his Galarian and stick it. And
I was one click away from acceptance.
I was one South click Institute away. Fuck you.
Acceptance is one click away.
Almost only counts on horseshoes and hand grenades.
Well, if this was hand grenades, everyone would have fucking died because I was that close.
If this was fist grenades, everyone would be dead.
And,
no laughter. There we go. Finally.
I'm going to get mine from Cheese Doodle, and then I'll probably get mine before you, so.
And then by the time this goes up, I'll be paying for Hurricane Red, Shinken Red, and, yeah, Shinken Red, Hurricane Red, and three figure arts from, Chocolate Chip Waffles. So, that's cool. And I've asked Oki to pre-order me the September figure arts, which we'll talk about soon. So, I think that's it for me.
Yay, he's done.
Finally.
Kind of liked him better when he was asleep.
You know what? Fuck your mother. In the ass with a hot metal shaft.
Oh, God.
Metal shaft? Get it? Metal shaft. Maximum drive.
Flaming metal.
Oh, God.
Shaft.
There's just noises. This podcast is not work safe.
It's really not. Alright, so onto the news?
Yeah.
Onto the nudes.
Yes.
Well, it depends on which ones they are.
Insert gross noise here.
It's ones that are about 4'10" with large, large breastises.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So, when did this happen? This happened April 21st-ish, so right after we recorded last week.
That's exactly how
pretty
it
much.
So right after this records, it'll be some.
It was like next day.
Yeah. We have the listings for the Figure Arts September Tamashii Web releases. They aren't actually up yet, so we don't have any really, really cool pictures or epic banners or anything like that. But we got some initial pictures, or rather, none of these are initial pictures. But
these are the girls.
Yeah, well, the girls we talked about a while ago when they were in that magazine.
And they were at that show,
too. We still don't know what the birth cloth set or Kazari looks like. So anyway, enough spoilers.
I like these pictures.
Spoiler alert.
Thank you. So we have Shinken Yellow and Shinken Pink, both for 3,675 yen each before middleman fees.
Gase.
They're probably going to come with whatever green and blue come with, the Shinken Maru and their origami. I think that's the only thing they come
Cross
with.
His fingers for Kotaro.
Oh, and their weapons, of course.
Yeah, they're fan and shuriken. Hooray for middleman fees, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
The next up is the Birth Claws set featuring everything that doesn't come with Birth, basically. So, all of his claw weapons that combine with the scorpion or attach him to make birthday mode and all of that. So, all that's in this set for 3,150 yen. So, you're paying about as much for the claw set as you did for Birth.
They better be amazing.
Exactly.
That fucking price, they're amazing.
They better come with an additional Birth.
Honestly. So, you can display them in birthday mode and non-birthday mode.
Yeah.
Because it's not always your birthday.
It's birthday and unbirthday.
Yeah, I want a cake box.
I was just about to say that goddamn hive mind. Alice in Wonderland hive mind shit. So, lastly, we have Kazari to go with Uva.
Calzone.
Calzone.
That's his name.
Note, this picture is of the RHS.
This figure looks horrible. This is the worst figure out I've ever seen.
No articulation whatsoever.
The birth is just a figment of our imagination, but this is just horrible.
He is
now recording. Watch, by the time this goes up, I'll edit the story to have actual pictures, and it'll just look like I'm insane.
Probably.
The claws are all 2D.
What? 2D? You're in 2D. I don't know.
2D. I'm in 3D!
He's for 3,465 yen. I'm pretty sure it's the same price as Uva.
It is.
And then we have for Garo enthusiasts. Oh, this one's gonna kill me. This one's getting Mandrake instantaneously. Zero, the white, not white, silver guy from Garo.
The white Garo Beetleborg.
He is 4,725 yen.
Oh my god!
I do not.
He better be made of actual silver.
I don't know what's up with these Garo figure arts and why they cost so much. It is really ridiculous, but. I don't know. I'm going to have to Mandrake it and hope it goes down in price. Because I want it, but there's no way in hell I'm paying that plus middleman fees.
They're made of actual silver and gold, figure. Brian.
Like, the entire goddamn thing should be diecast.
And they shit gold nuggets.
You should shit. You should shit silver and Garo should shit gold. Be awesome.
Or the opposite, just because I said so.
For Ultra Act fans, we have Astra.
So Matt?
Matt. I don't know what Astra is, but he's 3,570 yen. And then we've got, one's from Zegapain. I have no idea how to pronounce that, so just look at the listing for Robot Damashii people that want it. I have no idea what those are. So just look at it.
Look at it!
Next up, we have more September bullshit.
Bullshit.
Except it's really pretty bullshit.
That's like, oh my god, it's so pretty.
By God.
Hibiki?
Yes. Hibiki's shit. That's what figure arts are. Hibiki's shit. Poop of the gods.
God, what is wrong with us?
I don't know. I think these are all September except for Tamashii. Yes, they are.
Isn't Puto Tira August?
Oh, yeah, he's August.
Okay.
Thank you. So, first up on the scan... What?
God, there's building a sign outside of Vegas that says you're making a huge mistake.
people there usually are.
Then he turns it around and says, sober up, bitches.
Sorry.
Puto Tira looks fantastic.
He is so sexy.
It's so beautiful. Like,
these O's combos just get nicer and nicer looking.
He's so epic Barney. He's like, Barney, just read the post. It's hilarious.
Tamashii, Kaiser, Jungle Boy, and Epic Barney.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, so I just awesome. Love him so much. I don't even know how to put it into words.
I can't wait to make sex with it. Did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did. So, as of right now, he has diecast feet, which is pretty epic for, like, the final form, because he's all big and armory.
I guess.
So, Shoutout's supposed to come with diecast feet, too, apparently, so...
Because he...
Is it? Because I was under the impression that the prototypes all have diecast feet, and then they go,
Apparently, the listing on the Tamashii page lists diecast, so...
Oh, really? Oh. See, I didn't look at the listing.
That's what I read.
That's cool, then.
So, he comes out in August, along with Ryuki. So, that is going to be a really epic month. Ryuki?
Yeah.
It's like dragons and dinosaurs everywhere.
And then look at the exclusives for August. We have Axel Booster, G-Shuing, and Uva, plus the Taja Door parts.
He went
now
Brooklyn
I'm half
for a
crying
second.
Because of all that money, but it's going to be an epic figure.
We're gonna start getting raped starting in June, so you better get used to it.
Where do I go
I've
next?
Got the lube.
I'll do Kaiza next. No, I'll do
British
Tamashii,
lube enthusiast. Lube. Robot Tamashii.
we have O's Tamashii combo, who we all Ray? Figured would be a Tamashii web exclusive.
Lol, they were listening again. Even
and
if that makes sense.
Half right. It is a Tamashii. It's supposed to be the Tamashii festival exclusive, like Joker was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it is Tamashii combo. He looks pretty neato.
He'll probably get a cool box.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the box more than anything.
That's strange.
I mean, the shocker legs are just Taja Door's legs painted gold.
Gold.
And the body's the only new
Momo's thing. Just really horny. I know, it's Imogen, goddammit.
And I think all it is like basically just normal hands or normal arm sections with new shoulder pads, so it's not really any different. He's got like the Momo onklet designs, but onklet.
Now I'm never gonna hear the word anklet the same again. I'm like, this is an onklet. No, seriously, onk.
It's not even an anklet, it's a gauntlet, but I don't know why onklet came out.
Well, just like when I think of anklet now, I'm gonna hear onklet in my head.
Why is the entire English language ruined for us?
No, we just giggle at everything. People just say normal shit to me, and I just start, like, giggling. Like a little schoolgirl.
They put some new shingles on the roof. Lol.
Well, man, this weather's really crazy. That's not nice, he died.
Weather. Spoiler alert.
Oh, it doubles over.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. The Tamashii Festival is taking place July 16th and 17th, so...
hopefully he comes with that Momo sword.
Released then. Yeah, hopefully he comes with the Momo sword. It doesn't say what he's coming with. He's only 3,000 yen, so I'm not expecting too much.
See?
But, yeah. See? Next to him is one that people have been fapping over forever. Kaiza!
Yes!
Yes. So, okay, that was gross. It's gross when he does it. He's retailing for $3,465, so probably about $3,500 or lower. I don't know how these price thingies work. Pluto Tira was $3,360, by the way. So anyway, Kaiza comes with everything he needs to. His shot, his
grippy pointer.
Pointer, there we go. Poiser. Pointer, his shot, and then four different, what was it, Kaiza driver?
Mm-hmm.
That was called? So one with it in, one with the mission memory taken out, one for exceed charge, and then one without the phone in it, so.
And then he also has his blade thing on the side of his waist.
Yep, he's got that too. And then he's got his epic feet.
Oh god. Those souls are amazing.
Souls is amazing.
What if they develop a foot fetish? I don't know. I'm not affiliated. I work for Dangly Insurance.
Souls in my mouth.
Oh god. It's a real
Facebook page.
It really is. Go check it out, Dangly
Insurance. Eat your soul.
And then lastly we have
I am Amazon.
Thank you. I was waiting. He is being released in September along with Kaiza. So we've got... Do we have one more for September?
Not yet, no.
Not yet, no. Just Kaiza and Amazon. Cool.
So, Amazon, Kaiza, and exclusives.
Yeah. He looks amazing.
He looks amazing. Damn it, I ruined
amazing.
That.
Amazing.
There we go, that's better. So, try to work at home.
He comes with the... what was it called? The
Gigi no Dewa.
That one. The armlet.
Gigi no Udewa.
I like armlet better. So a new scarf piece, two variations of his belt, one with the little red things in it, one without. I don't know. The things that come out of his belt, like, are they whips or are they just various whatevers?
They're just hot metal rods to stick up people's asses.
Probably. Whip things, I think. I don't really know.
It's a toilet paper.
I know the wiki page says he can get grappling hooks and shit out of his belt, but it's like a guy.
Okay, that's where I was going.
I read that already. But the coolest thing of all is he comes with an effect part that attaches to his hand joint, and it's basically him doing the Daisetsudan, right?
Daisetsudan! Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think.
He reversed to, like, completely white. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know. I think it is.
Thanks, so, that looks really cool. I'm probably going to use that in my pose because it looks cool. But the sculpt's really nice. Like, it's another example of a organic rider.
Like, gills? Gills is the shit. It comes out of a lake and stabs you.
Like, it's interesting looking because he's from the Showa era, so it was just kind of like spandex and, like, a poofy chest thing and a helmet. So it wasn't like gills where he's like... But
that's the sound effect for gills.
Did you just say... I know how with his mouth. Did you just say whether it's the mouth opens or is it like a different piece?
None of the pictures that I have posted on this one show any variations in the helmet.
Okay.
Were there pictures that had variations in the helmet?
I thought it looked like his mouth was open, and I thought I saw something where like his mouth was open and also closed.
If anything, I think it would be a tiny joint. I don't think it would be a different head just for something as small as that.
Oh.
I hope it's a joint.
Anyway, continue.
That's really it. So he's going to retail in September for 3,150 yen.
So let's discuss. Let's discuss because we did a bunch of figure arts. I know, right? Okay, I don't even know where to start. Like
I kind of gave clearly, my impressions as I was going, so you guys can take the forefront.
Clearly, with the exclusives with the girls, I mean, we figured obviously they'd be exclusives, and so it makes sense for them to be coming out together, like the guys did. So that's cool.
Oh god.
Anyway. And Kazari, obviously this is, you know, obvious since we just had Yuva, so Yuva, Kazari, that's whatever. And the bird set, we figured that'd be a separate piece too. I didn't think it'd be that goddamn much. It seriously better be like all diecast or something, because, god. But and that's for these guys. Tamashii is kind of whatever. I mean, I'm still getting him because he looks cool. Puto Tira is so pretty.
He's sexy.
Oh my god! I saw it and I just almost died. Like, and Kaiza, I'm really glad that now Fives will have a friend who isn't himself.
Well, Kaiza's not gonna talk to him.
Well, I know because Kaiza's a douche.
Now I'll post Fives on the phone and Kaiza like with his back to him, like bitch, please like talk to the hand pose. It'll be epic.
Just have him staring at his phone, like looking at the caller ID.
I'm like, lol, I'm not going to answer it. I'm, like, hanging up on him.
But Amazon looks really, really, really good. I'm glad we're getting him. I would have expected Nigo would have been after Ichigo for the next show or release since it's the same mold, basically, but. Amazon looks cool, and it's so much better than both him and Ichigo from what we saw that show way back when. Mm-hmm. Oh, good lord! I saw somebody put the two next to each other, and it looks like it was made. The old ones were made like a child. Like
it kind of does. Like their shoulders are all jacked up, and they got like Bandai of America proportioned bodies.
Yeah, like it was just complete not like somebody threw it together at the office complete like nonsense. In 5 minutes. Like, someone at the office took spare parts and just jammed them together into figures.
But at least like they're starting to finally make figures of these guys. They're like, oh, look, we introduced these 3 years ago, and then we're like, lols, and then ran.
I know Ichigo is in the figure arts book.
Yeah.
That came out, like, at the end of 2009.
That's how they tricked us to ordering Ichigo the first version, because they showed us a picture of him and then put up the pre-orders for the first version on Pink Nuts and...
We didn't know what it was. We're like, yeah. Do we need a locale? Buy that. Right.
Click buy, because we just love to click buy.
It's like, nope, it's just a repaint of the next version done in pretty teal and pink. I'm like, oh, okay.
But, yeah, I'm still very, very excited. I can't wait. Cannot wait. So, all right, Dawson, it's time for you to say what he said.
What he said.
There you go.
God, sorry if you can hear humming. Scratch door. But yeah, pretty much because I already talked about how I love Puto Tira and he looks awesome. He's like the most epic Barney Kamen Rider
it's
ever.
Probably my favorite one. I like the ones that we just revealed.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to him. Like, I hope.
Kept staring at him when we saw the pictures. Like, I just because it was done just like when we saw the pictures of Sha Uta and Ichigo and stuff, where we just got like one behind the other and just started freaking out.
I hope he's not like all messed up, having some QC problems. I hope it's like Cyclone Joker Extreme, which for the most part he was okay.
Yeah. And like for the rest of the evening, I was just staring at Puto Tira, going, "He's so pretty. He's so pretty."
And let's see what else. Kaiza looks good. Amazon's probably gonna be awesome because all the other organic riders are awesome.
Although I don't know, Kaiza is probably an easiest kick because he has fat thighs. So
probably. I mean, he needs to go on Weight Watchers, but whatever.
Suddenly fight the. Never mind. I meant to say thunder thighs and fire thighs were about to come out.
You said Chun-Li fight.
Well, okay. I stopped myself at F.
But then again, she has fat thighs too, so it's okay.
Oh, don't get me queasy again. Let's see. The Shinkenger girls, I mean, we already knew about them, so there's not really any thoughts to give other than, yay, we got release dates. I think that Calzone looks horrible. He has no articulation. He's made of rubber. Oh, wait. No, I think he's going to look cool. I'm looking forward to getting all the greeds. And the birth parts, that should be cool. I still kind of wish that they have done like a birth figure art and then a deluxe birth figure art. Same thing with like Taja Adore. That would have been nice instead of making us pay for these exclusive stuff. But whatever. I think that's it. Now I can go on to the O's rumors that wait for no one.
Yeah.
O's rumors, they wait for no one.
So this week's O's rumors revolve around the Purple Combo and Dr. Maki.
Dr. Maki!
Dr. Maki! So, now apparently, I don't know where they came up with this crap. Apparently, Puto Tira does not represent dinosaurs. I know, right? Who would have thought being pterodactyl and triceratops and tyrannosaurus? But it actually represents extinct and fantasy creatures.
That's because triceratops is now a fantasy creature because he doesn't exist anymore.
See, that's what I figured too. After a while, I was like, I guess that must be it. So here's some things about what's going to happen in the next few episodes. It says, Edgy absorbs the purple core metals and falls into a crisis. That happens this week. Three core metals spontaneously separate from his body and go into the driver, causing him to turn into Oz Putotira. When his eyes glow purple, he loses complete control of his body and he's in a berserk mode. So yeah, this combo is dangerous. There's some kind of scan here that says something's going to happen to Date. Uh-oh, he has a secret nobody knows. Is he gay?
No, he's got washboard abs.
There's an owl yummy and bird. All the bird type yummies are stronger than the Taja Dole combo, so that's just fantastic. After fighting the yummy, Edgy gets injured, yet he keeps fighting. When Date sees Edgy's recklessness, he starts to remember that he's met Edgy before. And during May, his past will be revealed as to, and it's connected to why he would go so far to risk his life to others. Then it says when Maki betrayed the Kogami Foundation, he took. This is in the episode.
I think this is completely fake. I don't think this is going to happen, and I also don't think the core metals are going to go into Edgy. I think that's BS.
So he uses the metals. He uses himself for an experiment, though, and absorbs a few of the core metals. In 32, two Pteranodon yummies are created from purple core metals. They made an appearance in the O's and Double Movie core movie, but the ones in the series are different. Their goal is to turn everything into nothing, and they are able to spit out black fog, causing humans to disappear. A similar black fog comes out from the purple metals, which causes O's to revert to human form. Some summaries say episode 32, Date takes Edgy to the hospital. After he's lost consciousness, the yummies appear. We got that. Episode 33, Edgy's high school friend Kitamura invites him to an amusement park and takes Date, Goto, Hina, and Ankh with him. And then Hina goes missing. 34, Edgy's determined to save Goto and Date, who were kidnapped by a yummy. He asks help from his friend Kitamura, who knows the amusement park well. But he looks at Ankh as somewhat hostile, and they eventually meet the yummy and Kazali. So 35, Hina wins first prize in a designer competition at her fashion college and gets a trip to France. She's going to be a genius in France, genius in France. Oh, on the other hand, a yummy that wants to crush dreams appears. Surprisingly, this yummy is the unicorn yummy, the first fantasy-themed yummy for this series. Well, fuck me, beautiful.
Oh, God.
And then here's some other rumors. Edgy said to be the son of a politician. Dr. Maki becomes the extinct fantasy greed Gil, and Date dies. Edgy becomes less selfish because of his brother Yuma Hino. He went to the disputed area in order to save the town. Civil war type thing. It was for the sake of desires of the whole world. What the fuck? When Edgy finds out about the truth, he becomes the embodiment of unselfishness. Edgy's unselfishness is the source of Oz's powers. His greed gradually releases when he uses the purple metals and turns to Putotira. He suddenly becomes the embodiment of greed and absorbs Ankh Ankh. So that, I don't even know it's cool to get more of Edgy's past because everyone else's past are getting revealed. So we'll finally get some info about him. I want to see Putotira real bad. That's kind of all I have to say. You guys want to go? Oh, I don't want to see Date die because he is epic, awesome win with nice abs.
Well, like I said, the rumors about him having the 10 core medals and him absorbing the dino medals, I think, are complete BS. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I've never heard of anything like that. Okay, just kidding. People think I'm serious. Like, what a dumbass. That happened already.
It's even funnier because it's the episode we're discussing today.
I know.
That's why I skipped that section. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this in 10 minutes. Not reading these rumors. They're not rumors anymore. They happened.
Yeah, like most of the stuff we've already heard about, like Edgy going berserk with like the Putotira stuff. I have no idea how Dr. Maki is going to absorb these metals. Is he going to like swallow them? Is he going to insert them the other direction? Or I don't know. What else? It'll be interesting to get pictures. Like Edgy's past, because he really hasn't gotten any development at all. Like he's not changed or anything. We haven't found out a lot except he tried to save Iris when she was little. So it'll just be nice to learn something about him.
Yeah.
Is that why she's always like, you're such a little kid?
Yeah, because she's mad at the world because Edgy couldn't save her. But yeah, I don't want Date to die again because Date is awesome. He's like Hibiki version 2.0. Anyway, here's thoughts, Shinobu. Yo.
What you said, basically. I'm just looking forward to Edgy getting backstory because we don't really have any yet. And I don't want Date to die because I heart Date.
Date heart. My heart date. Team Wait. Date. Fuck yes. Team Crossheart for life. Represent.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Dr. Maki and the whole like becoming Giru thing.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
He's already a big bundle of fucked up. We'll discuss that later. So it'll be interesting to see if he becomes an even bigger bundle of fucked up. But interesting stuff. We'll see what happens. Again, I don't want Date to die.
I know.
I guess we should do this reverse. So we do want Date to die.
Oh yeah. So.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll happen.
And Date die, die, fucker, die! I hate you. You suck at life, bitch.
Bitch tits.
Is that effective enough?
Bitch tits.
Well, that should be good. I think they stopped listening.
Okay. And then you burp and walk away.
Yep. You can move on while I continue to type.
Okay, so...
while I continue to pretend to be Brian typing.
Next, our next story is entitled Gokaiger Hentons to O's Combos for Rio?
For Rio.
So, that's right. We mentioned a few days ago about the whole Gokaiger's turning into different combos in some kind of movie in the summer. Here's a little bit more information about that. It's kind of not a lot, but whatever. So apparently somebody just posted on 2Channel that they saw 6 O's combos, namely O's Taja Dol, Gata Kiriba, La Tora Tar, Sago Zo, Sha Uta, and Puto Tyra.
Banks?
she's going to throw a bone at you. Lined up in the park for filming a couple of days ago. It said that Sago Zo and La Tora Tar were smaller than the rest. Possibly could mean they're girls. So that's what's leading the guys on 2Channel to assume that this means the Gokaigers will Gokai change to O's, which would kind of make sense because with the two ones being shorter, and also because there'd be no other reason for all those combos to be just chilling together.
This isn't Deno. We don't have edgy clones.
I know, right?
Yeah, like
we all can't... the greeds just start transforming into O's.
That'd be weird.
I'm from Holland. Isn't that weird? I have a Dutch accent. It's probably because all the O's combos are his Faja. That was a horribly placed joke.
Anyway, if Brian wants to talk about these things now, that'd be great.
Okay. Okay. So, Echo.
Echo!
Echo!
So what I hope happens is that... I really want this to happen, like...
I don't care about your hopes and dreams.
In O's summer movie or...
Here it is Bandai.
In Gokaiger's summer movie.
Bitch.
I don't particularly care which one, but it would just be awesome to have the Gokaigers, like, pop up in the O's summer movie and go, hey, we can do this now, lulz.
Be like, and Kazenikaze!
All the O's forms and then O's is Burakawani. And then I just, like, charge.
It'd be pretty epic.
Bitch.
It would be pretty cool.
Then we'd need keys for all those guys.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is it all, like, one Tatoba key, or is it, like, individual O's keys for all...
I want a white! That's a beautiful key.
Yeah, because if it's going to be O's keys, I need a key set SP for this movie.
It'll probably be... nothing. Nope, not saying it.
Shh. Thomas G. Webb exclusive keyset SP?
It's your fault now.
Yep. Kids, blame him.
I love it. I'm not saying it. I say it. It's your fault. He did it.
It's your fault. All your fault. Definitely what I was thinking, but you said it, so it's your fault.
Here we go.
It would be a really cool set, though.
It would
just
be
like a Tato. Well, I don't know.
That's wild.
Like, if the one rumor is true, the Tatoba key would come with Burakawani, and then like an SP set with all the other forms.
Boom.
Except then there wouldn't be a Barakwani key, and then I'd be sad.
Maybe that's the special thing in the SP set has Tatoba.
Maybe. Maybe there is no Tatoba.
Maybe Tatoba never really existed, and he was all a coma dream of Ash.
Tatoba, Tatoba, Tatoba.
Tatoba, Tatoba, Tatoba.
But yeah, it sounds like a fun idea. But I kind of rather have it happen in O's movie since it's more silly, and I don't want to. Well, I guess Gokaiger would be okay. I don't know. It just seems like it interferes with everything, and just seems like they're doing it just
I mean, I'd rather do it in the O's summer movie, just because.
It'd still be nice if it was like
there's a good
like,
chance the O's summer movie isn't canon anyway.
Net movie or something, but
O's has a track record of no canon movies.
Oh yeah. Hey guys, guess what?
What?
Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Fuck no. You shitting me.
Yep.
Bitch be tripping.
Bitch be tripping balls. That's what Oak says about Ash. Ash.
Ash.
This is from a guy who doesn't even know his own grandson's name.
Oh yeah, it's Douchebag.
What's your grandson's name? Oh yeah, it's Harry Balls. Thanks. Oh, that's funny.
Smell you later.
Talk about everyone's favorite toku, Power Ranger Samurai.
I guess. I mean, I don't really like the Power Ranger Samurais, but
I get better than Overdrive.
I heard there's a red combo in it, so.
Okay, so we have a few little tidbits. The first one is.
Sounds like the girls.
Here we go. Then they're just talking. They're having banter without me.
Tidbit.
We have some tidbits here. Samurai is moving to Saturdays after much whining and complaining. Nick, I guess, smartened up and realized that it probably does better on there.
Considering
I mean,
the Saturday reruns were getting better ratings than the Sunday
like,
premieres.
It didn't make sense. I'm like, it's not as if there was something else airing at that time on Saturday that was airing Power Rangers. So, yeah, it's moving to Saturday mornings, so everyone's all, yay, and now it'll be a special every week. In the new special, Decker is more than he seems. I, Cole. Or, I, go fuck yourself. Okay. So, and then also in this post, you see a first image of something I'm going to talk about next, which is the Gold Samurai Ranger. And then next, we
with
got...
your Brian printing things.
That was my chair, I think.
Oh, I thought was Brian's printer.
Damn it, chair, stop printing shit. I told you not to look at those nasty pictures of those leather shirts online. I mean, I'm going to say chairs, and my shirts came out.
Oh, I got my shirts. I didn't mention that I got my shirts. I'm missing one.
Oh, yeah. No one cares anyway. But, so we got some two... Okay. We got two preview clips today from the new episode of Samurai that airs this weekend. The first one shows the introduction of the Gold Ranger, Antonio, and his transformation and debut, which is...
Antonio!
And then the second preview chip... You said preview chip, you, like, insert into your brain and then it projects it. Preview clip is of Jaden looking for a ghost, slashing around his sword, displaying some bad acting all around.
And the third preview shows Agent X, and oh wait, that's something different.
That's something cool. And then in this post, there's a picture of Emily about to get totally pwned by Jaden's sword. That sounds totally wrong.
that was a really funny part of the clip, though.
Yeah, it's a really funny like picture too.
Her face was priceless, or not, but it was totally priceless. With her face was like, oh god.
No, I think it did happen in Shinkenger. I think I remember that.
It probably did.
I remember him getting all paranoid.
Yeah, I mean, that happened. The plot's the same.
But. Yeah.
But I think he did almost, like, cut Kodoha's head off, so.
But this time Jaden's like, where is it? Oh, my face is such a zombie. That's exactly what happens.
Her face was so goddamn priceless. That was...
She's just got, like, this giant, I think I just shit myself.
I just shot myself. If I was from New Zealand, I would break accent right now.
And I like how all Jaden says is, sorry, Em. Like, how do you say sorry after you almost slice her head off?
I guess it's better than saying sorry, Em, after you did slice her head off.
It would have been funnier if you would have accidentally sliced Kevin's head off.
His acting might improve.
Or Kevin or...
Both. Just takes both of them out at once. Oh, fuck. I'm just kidding. The other cat. Your acting's far better than his.
It is, so.
Even when you're asleep.
Okay, so anyway, about Antonio. I approve. Like, I think it'll be interesting.
Okay. Stop rolling around!
Like, I mean, it's hard to judge with just one clip, so we'll have to wait until next week to kind of get a good deal of things, but it just seems like he's going to be a really fresh take on the show. Like, not fresh as in this is just American Genta, really, but
yeah,
like in terms of like a Mike level
yeah.
enjoyment character.
Like, I'm hoping that he, you know, is kind of like Mike in the fact that he's following the same character, but he makes it his own somehow.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't expect him to be straight up Genta, because, like, that just doesn't particularly work over here.
Yeah.
Like, just taking Genta's, like, wackiness and just playing off.
Samurai is Jank.
Oh, he's kind of trying.
Samurai is Jank.
Oh, here we go. Should I boot him now or later? One. What the fuck was that?
He was sick.
Kevin's bulimic.
Oh, God, I knew it. Oh, God.
Oh, talk Tom.
But yeah, I'll probably be able to form more of a birch chirping opinion next week when we see the full thing. But my first impression wasn't so bad. Like, I don't think he did too badly. It's the same exact scene right down to the movements.
Boxing is such a homo.
I like Gold Power a lot better than Go-Go Samurai. You know what? That's it.
Poor Dawson.
I thought you were going to boot him.
I almost did. It would have been funny.
You remembered we have to do the summaries next.
Oh, one thing I do want to point out, speaking of like the whole Morphin stuff, the toy is accurate. We aren't getting the sushi changer, which is probably good.
Yeah.
It's just the Samurizer, except it's accurate to the toy because it has a flat top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painted like the inside of the sushi changer, but it's a Samurizer.
Yeah, it's so, all
thin. Technically, it's a Samurai Morpher.
Yeah, that's what he calls it. And it's Gold Power.
It's a new version of White Power and Black Power.
Like a Gold Ranger sushi power. Epic song.
The best part is the original Gold Ranger said Gold Ranger power, so...
Yeah.
They just took one word out and...
Like, how can we make this original? Take out Ranger. Brilliant.
Give that man a raise.
Now give him the rest of the TV Neon scripts and it'll be done.
Anyway, any guy that throws exploding sardines is cool in my book. So, we'll see how that goes. But I approve so far.
Look forward to more thoughts next week. Two thumbs up.
And according to Twitter, he's prepping, rehearsing something musical for a cool show. I wonder if it's
God. They're gonna, maybe they're gonna, the big original for second season is they're gonna go musical. Maybe they're gonna do a team up with Victorious and they're all required to sing.
Maybe.
Samurai parties with Victorious. I want Robbie. I want Rex to replace Kevin as Stinkin' Blue.
Good times.
That dude is such a terrible actor.
He really is. I think I hate him.
I think I hate your mom.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Oh, snap, bitches.
Oh, snap, Dizzle.
Uh-oh.
Bitch tit.
Snap your Dizzle Bizzle in my pants, ho.
All right, so are we ready for...
Samurai Summaries with Shuki. Oh, wait, no, that's something different.
One, that doesn't happen this week, and two, you skipped something.
Dang it.
We really need to make stock footage for this.
Super Hero Time! Go Kaija! Azimaru!
We need to get stock footage for that. We need to get stock footage for final thingies in case Kevin falls asleep.
What did y'all do for that last time, by the way? Because I didn't watch the episode yet.
I just said it horribly, so it was called Horrible Final Thingies.
Yep. You couldn't do final thingies! You couldn't do that?
No, he couldn't.
You just totally suck balls then. Bam! This is why I'm indispensable. Until Brian makes stock footage. They're gonna replace me with sound out and just fill in my voice in random places. So anyway, we're on to the Gokaigers, and we're on episode 10. Which starts off, and they're playing poker. Now, why does the jack card have a V?
Because it's VAC. Ace, king, queen, and VAC.
Okay, that makes sense. So, Marvelous thinks you can win poker with one pair. I don't know what's wrong with him. If he's, like, playing lowest hand wins, I don't know.
He's just like, I'm so badass, all I need is a pair.
And then our the resident homosexual here is like, ha, I think I won because I have a cool guy hand. And what's his name? Joe's all like, no, you lays down royal straight flush.
Then Blake.
Let's see. It looks like the just slashes green in the face. He's like, stop being gay. Actually, it looks like the queen card has a D on it. I think the word they're a different language. Anyway, that's really not important at all to the story. But
I know once they get to the ship, they start using bicycle cards.
Yeah, I noticed that like right away.
It's like having bought that at a drugstore.
They're like, "Damn it, Joe keeps winning," and then Navi makes fun of them, like, "Lol, you guys suck." And Joe sets up the episode by saying, "Well, Luca could beat me if she played seriously," and they're like, "What do you mean?" Like, seriously, I'm going, "Well, there's the setup. How are they going to pay off now?" And Zangak attacks, and then it goes all, let's go, Kaija, go, go, let's go. Let's Kajiro Tore, Kimi no Mai. Okay.
You get one phrase and one phrase only.
Lick my balls. So they're out there in Magigokaio blasting stuff with epic CGI action, and Joe sees a green ship and goes, don't blow that one up. And conveniently enough, there's a guy there shuffling cards. Like, oh, look, there's a card theme of the episode. Wonder if they're going to use Jacka later. Maybe. I don't know. They're like, don't destroy it. It's like some special ship with epic weapons that can burn the planet down or something. And then the ship, like, cloaks itself because they jacked up some Klingons, and it goes away. So, the bad guys are all pissed off because they keep losing. So, like, we're just going to burn the place to the ground. Like, well, that's one way to do it. I mean, it kind of ruins the place for everybody else, but whatever. And then they're like, okay, well, we need to stop this from happening. So Luca's like, me and Joe are just going to go sneak on the ship and steal the ammo. And he's like, wait, what? How did I get roped into this? What the hell, man? Fine. So they go, and they need to get on the ship, so they use the only powers they can use to sneak aboard and steal things. Bo-kenja! That's right, the Bo-kenjas with their scope shots and cool treasure hunting gear. While they're like out there risking their lives doing epic cool shit, these guys are playing poker some more, and Marvelous never learns because he's still like, I got one pair, lols. They're like, you're stupid. Why are you Red Ranger again? Like, they're like, damn, you are dumb. You are really dumb, for real. And now he's in court.
I know, right?
So in order to better sneak around the ship, they decide to put buckets on their heads and aluminum tinfoil on their bodies and go, we look like robots. The sad part is, it works. The grunts are so stupid that they believe that these guys are one of them.
It was about as bad as Taiki and Nene dressing up as Lady Devimon in the latest Cross Wars.
I know, right?
Absolutely nothing like Lady Devimon, but they got through just fine. So
what are you doing? The Lotmon's escaping. Get him! You're right. Let's just leave this clearly not female guy here. That's fantastic.
It doesn't take much to fool people in Japanese children's shows. Like,
I love that I watched those back to back too. I'm like, wait, didn't I just watch something like this?
Well, that's the same way that in Pokemon, Jesse and James can somehow seemingly get away with being disguised and Meowth.
It's because Ash is stupid.
He's such a little kid. But anyway, so they're sneaking around the ship, and they need to create a distraction because there's guards everywhere around this ammo, and some blue guys grab them and are like, hey, come with us. You guys look stupid. And we want you to play cards with us. So they're like, okay, lols. And Luke is like, I got this. And she just, every time there's a hand, she just slips cards from under her wrist and wins every hand.
Duh, winning.
And but yeah, it's at this point we notice they're using a bicycle deck bought at the local Walgreens. you know, it's because they wanted to go cheap. They didn't want to pay for the expensive set the Gokaigers have. You know, she's dealing.
I just love to see some Zangak just walking into Walgreens, like the giant blue one just knocking over shit on the shelves on the way. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
How much for these cards? $1.99.
Fuck that! Just blast them away. Have a nice day.
And so they're all pissed off. They keep losing, and because everyone's like, "Oh god, these guys are winning!" All the bad guys on the ship just like circle around this table. damn, Marvelous, you suck. And
Marvelous.
Right, I know, right? So finally, after like winning all their monies, Milfy's about to win again with a Royal Straight Flush and just take them all for everything
Royal
they've
Straight
got.
Flush.
When,
it's Blade.
Right. When the monster of the week guy comes out and is like, hey, wait a minute. You've been cheating this whole time, lols. And like, who are you guys? And they're like, hey, wait, these are buckets, pulls off head. And you know, it's like a Scooby Doo villain reveal. Like, hey, it's those pirates, you meddling kids. And so he's like, well, you guys have some balls, and plus, it's their fault for not recognizing you were cheating them out of their money. So let's do a game of chance. If you win, you leave. If I win, you become. I turn you in with your bounties and whatever else, and I get rich quick off your sorry pirate asses. So like, all right, let's do this. And
it's dual.
And then Milfy goes to grab the deck, and he's like, no, you're not touching him. I watched what you did.
I'm gonna play Yu-Gi-Oh instead.
And she's like, fine then. Joe's gonna play. And he's like, wait, what? Damn it! Stop doing this to me. You just keep inserting me into things. Ew.
That's what she said, literally.
That sounded dirty. And in any case, so they're playing, and he's like, you guys have to play with your cards face up. They're like, what the hell? Then to make matters worse, when he goes to draw cards, he just surfs through the deck and is like, I want this one and this one and this one. Thank you. Your turn. And they're like, you cheated. He's like, no, I didn't. They're like, we saw you. He's like, no, I didn't. And the blue dudes are like,
he's like, I do not owe you $30. I don't know what you're talking about.
And he's like, did anyone here see me cheat? And they're all like, no. He's like, see, unless you have proof, I didn't cheat. And they're like, well, this is how it is then. Well, fine. So then Joe's like, well, I'm still going to draw a hand. So he puts all five cards down. He just calls upon the heart of the cards, and he draws five cards and does a little slow reveal. 10 of spades. Dun, dun, dun. Jack of spades. Queen of spades. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? King of spades. And then he dives deep into that heart of the cards, just going, come on. Come on, Millennium Puzzle, help me out here. Flips over the Ace of Spades. The Ace of Spades. I totally did the music wrong for that song, but whatever.
Generic doo-doo. Doo-doo.
Doo-doo. And the dude's all, like, angry and pissed because he lost. I'm like, well, we're off. Bye. He's like, no, you. Get him. And so they're like, no. And you see three more guys in buckets, and I actually think one of them's not even a bucket. It's like it's like a foam hat or something, or like, it's like a football helmet. Because Green couldn't find any more buckets, so he got like a Master Chief helmet and just stuck that on. And they're like, "Look, it's us."
He had sunglasses on.
I know. Like, what's wrong with him? And they're like, "Yeah, these guys were just distracting you so that we could sneak in and get the ammo." Lols. And they're like, "Oh, god damn it. How did we not see that?"
He sounds all gay and frustrated. "Oh, god damn it. They fooled me again. Those bitches."
He's all bamboozled again. Dang it, Cheese Danish. So then these guys are all Gokai change. And they just stand in a line and do their roll call. Like they're in line at the cafeteria at school or something. We're in line waiting, one at a time. And so Green sets off a detonator they put on the ship. The ship blows, just like Wheelchair's girlfriend, and they jump out. And toss the ammo up in the air, and Navi catches it in her talons. Is like, "It's mine! Ha ha! Wolves!" Flies away.
Navi is the shit.
I know, right? And so then they're like, "Let's get these guys." They blue, green, yellow, and pink toss their weapons to each other like they do, like in the air with the swords and the guns, and they do like cool fightings and stuff. And then yellow like flips one sword around so that like the blades are opposite each other, and she's like fighting with a batleth or something. I don't know what's happening there, but it was pretty cool. Blue's doing cool things. Green's hiding in the bushes with like plants in his belt. Like sneaks up on them.
I knew exactly what Brian was talking about after I watched that. I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Like, he's like, "You can't see me." Like, "Dude, you're bright green. We're around a bunch of rocks. What's wrong with you?"
He just runs away like, "Lol, I'm invisible."
I know, right? And so then the guy starts throwing cards at them. Like he's Gambit or something. I don't know what's going on now. They're like, "You're not from the bayou." And so they're like, "Fine, let's he wants cards, let's give him cards." And they send back at him the Joker card, the Ace of Spades, the Jack of Diamonds, Queen of Hearts, and the King of Clubs. And they're all epic Jacka. They do like Jacka kick. Jacka kick. And then they're like, "Let's do Big Bomba."
Big Bomber. They just launch Bomber at him.
Boom, boom. "Let's go, Bomber. We're leaving."
"Come on, Bomber. We're leaving."
So, like, and it's one of the funniest things ever, because they basically just assemble a cannon from, like, random parts they pull out of their ass. And then Big One comes in and, like, gives the cannon a suppository. And it's just like, "Big Bomba," and like fires it, and it like blasts. It splits into two and blasts the two blue guys. They turn back into Gokaigers, and the Go Ranger and Gokaiger keys fall into their weapons, and they do a double final wave, like back from episode two, with double slashes and double shoots.
Double. Whoa.
So then the guy grows big. They get Gokaio. They're like, "You know what? He shoots cards at them and does this little stupid crap. Like, "You know what? Let's just get rid of this guy because we're bored. We want to go home and play cards."
We got 3 minutes left in this episode. We got to get the shit done.
They're like, "We have things to do. So let's get the Gal Ranger keys and we'll summon Gal Lion." So they're all like, "Shakoju Shokan." And he comes down, "Gal Lion." And then they combine. They slash him. He dies. It's just like a 30-second process. Angry bad guys. The whole spiel, right? You know. "You damn Rangers. We lost again. I've got such a headache."
And, spiel.
And so in the meantime, they've taken the ammo and they chucked it into space and blown up half the fleet or whatever. I don't know. They blew a bunch of the ships. It was funny as hell. So then they're back playing more poker because this is all they do. Joe keeps winning. And then he notices something in Milfy's arm, and it's more cards. And they're like, "Oh, look. you cheated. And he's like, yeah. She used him as a distraction and switched decks when Joe jumped up and was like, hey, you guys are cheating. And everyone's looking at him. Yeah, she just snuck over, switched decks with one that had the Royal Straight Flush on top. And that's why he won. And then he got all sad. And she's like, thanks, buddy. And then Navi laughs at Marvelous and more for losing. And then it ends with Navi's laughter.
Now I'm totally shipping a Milfy and Joe pairing and calling it Mo. Or Jilfy.
Mo's the dog's name. Except he's adorable.
You know what?
So it would be sounds a funny Milfy-Gibkin combo.
Libkin?
Mibkin?
Lipton? Juka? Wait, Juka? That's Ken Dendo's Juka. Sister.
Gook!
Oh, God. Sedai! IOMG! Right, I'll go first since I'm blabbing a lot about
it. Ohio!
Oh, wait, Kevin always does his things first, but he says, it was good. It's good.
It's good. It's good. I enjoyed it. It's fun. You know, this is a fun episode. More Jacka action. Double final wave. That was fun. My contract requires me to say that every time I do the phrase, so I can't do it normal anymore.
If he doesn't say it, he gets zapped.
Shuki's holding a cattle prod right now as we speak to make sure I do
God,
it.
God, if
so.
You brand it. Shenanigans, brand it. You just brand someone with RR logo. That's actually yep. What we do to all our employees, true story.
Yeah, check out Matt's arm. It's right there. Zeron Zephyr's getting his branding this weekend. So that was fun. It was cool. It was just another fun episode. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I wanted to say, and I can't think of what it was. It was funny as hell. The whole, we're going to put buckets on our heads, and no one's going to know who we are, derp. Really? So I'm going, there's no way this is going to work. And then they're just like, go, and it works. I'm like, what? Whatever. You guys go. I don't want to talk anymore.
So, like, it was definitely a fun
episode. So anyway,
It was definitely a fun episode. Like, I was entertained, and I laughed at the parts where they were just, like, parading around with the buckets, and Doc had sunglasses on for no apparent reason, and they're like, one Kado, two Kado, and they wanted to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And it was
just, like, we're inside, you idiot. Like,
it was just funny, but it was probably my least favorite, like, silly episode, just because not a whole lot happened. Like, the other ones, it just seemed like there was more stuff going on, and it sort of contributed to what happened later. Like, this really didn't do anything other than destroying that power source thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did they actually destroy it, or did they just take it?
They took it.
No. They threw it into space, and it blew a bunch of ships.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So that's what happened. That's really all that they did. Everything else really didn't matter. Like, it was just kind of an entertaining episode that developed that Milfy is a cheating skank. And it was an okay episode. It's not the best, but it was.
I enjoy her more now, so that was just enjoyable.
Well, I just meant that she's, like, cheating at cards and stuff.
Yeah, well, I was more upset that they didn't use any very many keys.
Were they implying that Joe never actually wins and she always cheats for him all the time?
Maybe.
That's what I took away from it.
That was Joe. I'd kill myself. Fuck, I thought it was
kill
so
yourself
good.
Right now. There's a knife in one of those pockets somewhere. There's so many pockets. I don't know.
So many goddamn zippers.
I know. I don't know what to do. And I don't know.
He must lose his keys all the time.
I'm looking forward to next week, though. It looks awesome.
Oh, yeah, because next week has Jew Ranger keys, Dynaman keys, and Gingaman keys.
And Karu. It's Karu time.
And Tanba. Your head is high. Get it down.
God.
So anyway, the episode. I don't really have too much to add because, again,
you suck at life,
me and Dawson
know.
Share similar opinions on everything ever.
Pretty much. Much so that he tries to argue with me about Dragon Ball Z stuff just to start arguments because we get along too well.
Like, it was really a fun episode, but it, like, wasn't that great. Like, at least the one with the guy on the ship, like, at least it progressed the Zangyak plans forward a little bit.
Yeah.
While this episode did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But it was still really entertaining. Like, it was a fun comedy episode that was enjoyable. Unlike all of the fun comedy episodes in Ghost Ager.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you even call him that.
It was cool seeing a skirted big one.
Yes.
I'd dub her little one.
She probably has a little one under all that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because there's probably a dude in there.
Probably. A really tiny dude.
I enjoyed it.
It's another one of those things where the show really can stand on its own without guest stars and with just the five of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did a good job of showing they can carry the show without like anniversary stuff, unlike DK.
Yeah.
DK just ran out and got yelled at. Seriously, this show's making DK look horrible.
So where the hell are we now? Onairo Decado!
Onairo Decado!
Next place. Okay, now where are we? Oh, no, no, DK, though. Damn it.
Why are you here?
Fuck away from me. Go, oh, no, raise someone else, you little fuckface.
I still like that idea of him just being in every writer show and just, like, being mad at the main protagonist for no reason.
Oh, no,
like,
that'd be a really...
I don't know. Come on. Oh, no, no, double. Oh, Nairo.
Nairo legal eggs. Oh,
that's funny. I'm just having a premonition.
Like, there's just... But the Gokaijers are... They're just fun people. I don't care if they're not nice people.
They're the type of rangers you want to have a beer with.
They're And they're not afraid... They're not afraid to work at things like the Ghost Sages. Where the Ghost Sages are all... I don't have to work to get stronger. Just give me the card. It'll be fine. Like, it doesn't work that way. Well, except for Green. He's a little faggot. But the rest of them are all like, we can work to get stronger.
I do enjoy Green's, like, fights, though. He always does really funny ways of taking out the enemies. I know, he's just, like, running around, like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, that was hilarious. Oh, my God. But somehow he beats them every time. It's hilarious.
Like, things that you would never normally think of to do to beat people. And I want to know what the suit actor is thinking. He gets to the set. You know, he's in the costume. Like, you want me to do what? You're gonna put plants in my belt.
You put grass where?
And I'm just gonna run around like I'm invisible. Ha ha! You can't see me. Really?
Oh, really?
Okay. I guess so. I mean, I'm getting paid for this, right? So, all right. Like they just have him doing the dumbest shit. Like last year he was being all I'm a long necked bastard Alta. Now he's being all I'm a little faggot Gokai Green putting grass in my pants. Like,
put quotes around grass.
Yeah,
it was 420 recently, so
that explains it.
Probably watched G4's 420 special.
I didn't see that. What?
Whatever. Let's just go to O's. We're wasting airtime.
Who? O's. Oh right, O's. All right. So I'm not taking a second to open the file or anything.
Of course not.
So we've
no, you don't remember what happened.
We've made it to episode 31, folks. I just get more depressed as the numbers get higher. We are at some restaurant with Edgy and Ankh, and of course Ankh's eating a popsicle. And Tate and Gotu come in and are like, yeah, so apparently Dr. Maki stole something when he left, and Cake Boss is pretty pissed off. I think he stole his favorite icing cake writer thing. I don't know what you call those, but the things they're on a cake with. I think he stole Cake Boss's favorite one of those, and now he's pissed. So I don't know what's going to happen. Those O's. So we see we're at Maki's house, and there's like little Ankh, and he's playing with a soccer ball because he's a little kid and he's all cute face. And Kazali and Maki comes, he's got this old looking box with dinosaurs on the outside, and you're like, what is this? He's like, well, this is my golden parachute from
these
when
are
I
the
left
power
Kokami.
Coins.
And
Ninjor gave them to me.
Ninjor gave them to me after I did a Dutch runner on him.
Oh God, I should have never told you that. That sounds really gay like that. I told you. I'm just gonna stop right now.
So he starts to open it, and we go to this guy who's got like yellow. I think he's being possessed by Kentaros. I don't know. He's got like a bunch of gold locks in his hair, so I'm confused. And he's at a collection office, and all these people are trying to get money from people. I think they're calling all the blacks in Japan to get them to pay their bills. I don't know. I cannot be sure of this.
That's actually Oki's office. that's the premonition of Oki's office in 10 years, just calling up everyone. That's the first thing I thought of.
Oh, God. That's either that or it's the debt collectors for Apple Strudel.
Probably right. One or the other.
And at the stroke of midnight, not stroke, a trash yummy pops out of all of them and deposits a cell metal, which they all put in a little baggie and give to the golden-haired boy over here, which he then takes to Uva, who just has like a giant crate of cell metals. And it's like, raw, yes. And he's holding up the sigh and Zomel's going, I'm not going to absorb you. But I'm going to get stronger with cells. And you're like, that's kind of birth strategy. But whatever. And so Dr. Maki gets the little case open, and we see inside it is 10 purple metals. And it's a full set. I took the time to count. There's 4 Terras, 3 Tricera, and 3 Tyranno metals. So Maki's like, now see, here we go. It's a complete set. All I got to do is pull out this one of them here. It's going to make some desire. It's going to form a new fucking greed from this. He pulls one out. The metals glow purple and like start to shake. Kazari's like, oh, fuck, I'm jumping back like 20 feet because I'm scared of what's going to happen. He looked genuinely scared. He had better acting right there in that 3 seconds than all of just Kevin and the entirety of Samurai so far. And then it goes all, you count the medals, 1, 2, and 3, life goes on, anything goes, coming up, oh.
Sorry, folks.
So back at the restaurant, Hina-chan comes in with her friend, who apparently they're getting money in the mail, from some guy, and they want Edgy to find out who it is. So he's like, all right. He's just going to stalk her outside her house to find the guy, which just that's just awful, right? I mean, whatever. So, apparently,
so enthusiastic.
Back at Maki's just demolished lab, these two, what are we going to name? The dynamic duo over here, they can't find anything, of interest as to what he stole, but they do find something really cool, a Tricerocandroid that was left behind. And it's all cute. I know, it's all adorable. And Date takes it with him and is like, oh, you're my new friend.
It's obnoxiously green in the show, though.
It is. It is. Like, and so we see Cake Boss, who either has a carafe of wine or grape juice. I'm really not sure. He's all upset with Dr. Maki and cannot believe he's going to summon the purple greed.
This, it's grape juice if it's Pegasus. Enjoying his favorite grape juice and cheese while reading a comic.
Why are you far away?
No. I'm not.
There you go.
I was running down a tunnel.
So he drinks some out of his glass and then he pours some out for his homies who were in jail. And
okay. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, see what happens is for the homies who aren't with you, you pour some out. See, you're pouring it for them.
Well, Cake Boss is a gangster.
Exactly, he's the real gangsters.
He's a Pokemon.
Right. So, oh fuck. All right. So, what's happening? I don't know. So,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So we see this kid. Right. And he brings Uva some more medals. He then pays him some money out of his pocket, which he then deposits some of it at this chick's house in her mailbox. Yeah. Right. He's about to leave. Edgy pops out from the bushes like, surprise!
Happy birthday!
The guy's like, why are your pants off? That's not required for this. And Edgy's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Pulls pants up.
Why is there lotion over there? Shut up.
no reason. Shut and he brings him back to the restaurant. And because he's going to meet that chick. And so she comes in and is like, seriously, dude, please stop giving us money. My mother's quit her job. And we're in debt because she just keeps buying shit. She's got the Shuki disease. And
except I never stumbled into money. I was just stupid.
Yeah. And because apparently what happened was her dad was this guy's teacher, and he helped him and lent him money and helped him get his life together. So he's just trying to repay them. Now that the guy's dead, he's going to help his family. And she's all pissed off. And is like, please don't. Meanwhile, restaurant girl comes over to feed Ankh. And I love this because in the subs, they wrote Ankie Poo.
Yeah, I love that. I had to like double take. It was hilarious.
Because I'm like, I read it and I see Ankie Poo before she says it. I'm like, what the hell does she say that they pronounce it Ankie Poo?
Wasn't just Ankh-chan?
Yes! It's kind of like how they take Goto-chan and turn it into Broto.
Yeah.
Broto is the shit.
It's just funny, like Ankie Poo.
Ankie Poo.
And so this dude, he falls out of his chair. A cell metal pops out of his sleeve, right? And she's like, hey, wait, isn't that a metal? And Ankh just stops totally dead in his tracks. His noodles just hanging from his mouth. Like a little kid. Like, wait, what? Metal?
And fair, that's what we do whenever we hear about new metals.
Pretty much. So he picks up the metal, runs off. Edgy follows him. Ankh follows him. Hina-chan follows him. Restaurant chick's going, what the hell? Where are my employees?
Why are all these people always running off?
It's like Jungle Fury.
I know, right?
Friends just are going, why the fuck they all leave?
I knew it reminded me of something. That's exactly what it is. It's the same type thing, too, because they almost knock her over like six times.
Or Mystic Force. Everyone just left the Rock Podium all the time.
Yeah. Guys, we have customers. We gotta go. So, like, the Ankh arm shoots off, grabs this guy by the hood, and just, like, yanks him down. And we see that apparently the chick has gone to go pay the money that the guy gave her to these two people to repay her debt. Apparently these two people work for the company this guy works for. So what happens is that these people collect money from her, right? They pay him. He gives money to her. She gets in debt with these people and gives it back to them. So the same money just like changes. It just goes in a circle. It's kind of like it's a circle. It's kind of like when Mr. S gives Brian's store credit. And then Brian just goes and pays it back to Mr. S. No one's actually paid any money to anyone. Which I don't think he knows. But Brian just gets free shit this way.
It's for good times.
Exactly. Or it's kind of why I don't work at, like, a video game store. Because they just pay me and I give it back to them. And same type thing. They run into the company because the guy's going to be like, hey, I'll pay the chick's debt back. Just, like, cut it out, dudes. And all of the trash dummies pop out. And Hina-chan and Golden-Haired Boy run away. And I was not prepared at all for this. I was so wrapped up in whatever we were talking about. Where the fuck's my scanner? I did not prepare. The belt. All right. So... Edgy goes all. I got the right three medals. So he just starts poning them. Ankh starts fighting. Edgy uses. He gives Dawson a giant boner because he uses the giant Tora claws and just slashes through them all.
I was totally going through the whole thing. It was awesome.
And okay, you just did that horribly.
I know, but I don't know how to do it.
Meanwhile, Hina-chan and the other guy run into Uva, who makes a yummy from the guy, and then just leaves. And so the guy's all upset because, I mean, he's just trying to help them out, and he's trying to make money doing this. And It was good. It was easy money. He's all sad. I'm like, no, it's okay. And whatever. And we're still talking about Desire. Some bullshit talking. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the story. It's just garbage. Meanwhile, the Yummy, though, he like, was he robbing a bank or something? He just takes a suitcase of money from somebody. Starts throwing the money in the street.
I want to know how he demanded the money. Like, he just comes in and is like, and they're like, so you want money? Okay.
And it's like Scooby-Doo.
Like, how could you possibly demand money? Like, you're just like a weird freaking mummy.
And then it molds into some kind of bug. What is that, Brian?
I don't know. It's a butterfly, I think. I don't know. It looks like a recolor of the one that was in the Sagozo episode.
Yeah,
the
Hayami. And it's some kind of butterfly thing that just flies away. And it's a Kuro Ageha. So it's just a repaint. Because Kuro...
It's also an exclusive.
This is it says it's a spangle. What the fuck's a spangle?
I thought that was a
Wikipedia.
Monkey.
Spangle's a kind of butterfly.
Wow, so this is in-depth research going on now.
I'm getting confused with spangle, which is a tiger.
I'm getting confused about shingles now.
I don't know.
You're stupid.
Why are we doing so much research on this?
Because I want to know. I'm anxious to learn things. I'm sorry that you can't read. Okay, so you're mad.
I didn't find out when I was a baby how to read, so I never learned.
So
now they banned it, so I'll never learn.
Ankh's spidey sense starts tingling. The Gorilla Candroid starts going.
I love Gorilla Candroid.
This thing's flying around, tossing money.
Feel bad for the one that got deep fried.
You don't want some deep fried gorilla? Oh. And so Ankh gives Edgy Metals and is like, here, use these.
Ta-ta.
Yeah, so he just uses the whips to like yank it to the ground and starts poning the piss out of it. It's pretty funny. And the guy's all scared, like, what is going on? And then Date and Goto come in and Birth transforms. Alright. So then he runs in, they start fighting, now it's 2-on-1, then Uva comes in and is like, oh, I'm bitching! And he starts to like lightning them, but like Unagi whips just deflect it, Yoda style, and then they try to hit him, but he's like, haha, lols, I got a bunch of cell metals in me, so you can't hurt me, bitches! And so they're trying to fight, and Ankh's like, Edgy's like, Ankh, what beats bug? We're like, don't you play Pokemon? God, you live in Japan, for God's sake. Fire beats bug. Use fire. So he's like, okay. Damn it. It didn't scan one of the metals. Get a good look, folks. Won't be seeing this for a while.
Thank God.
I'm going to take so Kevin's job. He sucks at it.
He's like, calm down. Damn it.
Well, I'm not taking him out of the case to do this.
I don't take him out of the case either, but I'm not retarded.
Well, not to mention that you have two other sets you could use. Candy toy and the
Gashpon. Yeah, but I don't have to even use them. I'm just quick like that. I'm like,
well.
That's what she said. You're quick like that. So, anyway, so at this point, upon the Tajador combo forming, we see Kazali's playing with metals, and five purple cores shoot up and just shoot out the house, and they're like, whoop.
There's like,
and Zate's got his gun, he's like, I need a reload! I need metals, Broto! And so he goes, he opens the milk can, and out pops Triceracandroid, who is just adorable. He is just the cutest thing, right?
He's like a little basset hound.
He is. He just he uses his tail to flip metals onto his horn, which he then uses those to flick them at Date, who catches them in the canister and is like, hells yeah.
Any cannabinoids that are associated with Date just get personality automatically.
They really do. Which basically means now that Go-To's only job is to carry the can around. He has no other purpose.
He's the Go-To
point.
Guy.
Right. So then Yuva just like flies up into the air. So Todd the Door's like, bitch, I can do that too. Flies in air, slashes at him, metals pop out, Encore shoots off, grabs Sai and Zoe. We're like, yes! White Blaster Beetle Borg! We finally got it back.
Fuck oh, yes. God.
Finally another combo besides Todd the Door. Thank you. Thank you. And Ankh starts mocking him like, haha, bitch, took your medals. And then Edgy Giga scans with, now this is a Giga scan using only cells. And he just pones the yummy. Just completely pones it. So then the two of them are going to face down Yuva. Except right at this point, the purple metals fly into Edgy. And he's like,
what the fuck? I don't remember that.
I do. And the belt goes all spastic and pops the red metals out. And Ankh's like, oh, fuck. And, like, flies off. And Yuva's like, yay, jumps. Ankh gets Taka and Kujaku. Uva gets Condor. Names getting confused.
Anklet. It's like Packlet. It's not that.
Anklet.
Ankh is like, damn it. God, lost the medal again. Son of a bitch. And Edgy Dion transforms and just kind of like passes out. And he was like, what's up with them medals? And Ankh's like, well, can I know? How would I know? Those are purple. I'm red. Stupid.
You look like Barney to you?
Damn, that's that other guy. He wears
mittens. I am Big Bird, you fucker. Sesame Street and Barney are two different things.
Oh, God. So Uva's like, well, whatever. I'll just take this medal and run. Ha ha, Ankh. And then...
Big Bird. Ryan's laughing, making me laugh. He's spinning out of control.
I don't know why it's so funny to me.
It is funny. I want an avatar now of Ankh just holding up his arm. It says Big Bird.
I am Big Bird, you fuck.
I am Big Bird.
Sesame Street and Barney are two different universes.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry for that.
I have no idea what just happened. That was funny as hell, though. Okay, so Hina Chen and Date and Go-To run over. And they're checking him out. Ankh's like, man, fuck him. And then he's like, you know what? I need to hurt him. So he runs over, knocks him out the way, starts shaking him. You lost my fucking medal, you son of a bitch. Get it back. Get it back. Get it back. That's what I heard. I don't know. And then Go-To has to like rip him off. Like, no, no. Throws to ground. And they're going to get him to the hospital. And it just kind of ends with his eyes glowing purple. All like, I'm Tommy and green with evil, lols.
I'm going to zap Balkan Skull.
And then it ends.
Ends.
I am Big Bird. That was like such a cool episode. The purple medals are so pretty. I'm glad I bought them and Brian didn't. And and that's what you get from playing with Gal Lion through the one ups. And you have a pullback car. Thank you.
Lord.
And I have those too. And so, but I'm so glad they got back the Sai and Zoe medals. Cause damn it, I'm so tired of Taj Ador. But yeah. So, but what else? What else? I think that's about it. I don't know. It was a good episode. I can't wait till the next episode with
Putotira.
Puto Tira, yes.
Puto Tyra Banks.
So, so you guys go.
You can go first, Brian. It's not my first last time.
Okay, so it was really fun. Now, I'm not really going to say fun because it was kind of like emotional roller coaster.
But just like Sesame Street.
I am bigger than you. Oh, God. So, like, it was a good setup episode. In fact, it was one of the better setup episodes. Because a bulk of the action is going to take place next episode with Pinto Tito.
Bulk? Like bulk? Sorry, I'm sorry.
Now that word is ruined, too.
You just said, I quit. You just quit. Just, like, putting papers down and walk away.
But...
I quit.
It was probably, like I said, the best setup episode so far.
It's my turn now. The medals were pretty.
Yeah.
I'm glad finally got fucking Sagozo medals back.
I know. Now we just need some, like, Gatsukiriba and Ratuwata action. But Kazari's fucking stockpiling them in his calzone. Stick them all in there, but... It was a good setup episode, like you said. Like, there were some funny parts in it, for sure, that were fun. But basically what he said. It was a good setup. The setup for Puto Tira is looking to be pretty good. And I'm glad we're getting more medals back because he's spamming the crap out of the other ones. I thought it was pretty funny how Edgy just doesn't care about a secret identity and just transforms in front of everyone. Like, the office full of people is like, ta-ta-ba, 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 and everyone's like, oh, fuck, it's a monster. And then in front of that fake Kintros guy, like, when he just went, ta-u-ta, he's like, what the fuck did you just do, man?
The fuck is this shit?
I don't know, honestly. He's like, why is the belt singing at me? But it was a good setup, and next week's gonna be awesome. I can just tell by the preview.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be fucking awesome. And I also, yeah, like...
Ryu
and... Oh. And going back to the Candroids, like, I wish that the other Candroids that are more so associated with Edgy and, like Goto, whoever uses them, had, like, some more of, like, a funny personality role, other than, like, Taka being Pidgey. Like, he basically, like Pidgeotto, I choose you! Go find Meowth and write Team Rocket. Like, because, like, Gorilla Candroid and Tricera only being in the one episode already have more personality because they're, like, Date's helpers that help him with cell metals.
Yeah.
But, like... The other ones haven't really done a whole lot. They haven't had a whole lot of funny moments, other than Kujaku, like, being a badass when he debuted. We haven't seen him since then.
Right. You've seen him flying out of Dr. Maggie's lab, that's it.
Yeah, so they need to have some, like, more, like, iconic, like, roles with Edgy and Goto, or whoever else uses him at Kagami.
Taco flies around and looks for things. Taco flies around and looks for things. Bata hops around and looks for things.
Yeah, Bata's, like, always
records shit
for Dr. Maki.
Unagi rolls around and looks for things and electrocutes people.
I haven't even seen Unagi. I haven't seen either in a long time. They need to step it up. Memory Gadgets fucking defeated the final villain of Double.
I know, right?
So, yeah. Now it's time for... Oh, fuck. It's not time for it. What? Samurai Summer Jushuki. What? Brian doesn't even know. What?
I don't know.
It's really time for retrospective Rider Ranger. Fuck! Rider Ranger? Let's try again. It's time for retrospective Ranger Rambles. Rangers. Kevin, are you awake? Hello?
I'm awake, I'm right
That's
here.
Oh, I can't hear him, I think he's asleep.
I'm right here, idiot.
Oh, just kidding.
I'm right here, you idiot.
This
I am Big Bird, you fucker.
Big Bird, you fucker. And he, like, shows him the arm, like, duh.
Big Bird, duh.
Oh, God, it's epic. But so this time, we're shifting into a higher gear.
Shifting into turbo.
Fuck yes.
Gear.
Guys, I'm the new Blue Ranger.
No me.
You're right.
You are not.
Except with better acting.
So we start with story?
Yeah.
Start with whatever.
Or lack thereof.
Am I supposed to do it this time again?
Yeah, because you're a guy. You're the only one that's actually watching things.
Okay.
I don't have time.
Okay, so we start with the Turbo movie, obviously, because that's the pilot. So they're like, oh, fuck, I'm trying to think how to do it. Okay, so the Turbo movie is basically, they start and they're like, oh, hey, look, Rocky hurt his back because we want to make fun of how Steve Cardenas really hurt his back in real life. And then they're all at the hospital like, man, that sucks, you're out. We'll see ya. And they get a mission from Zordon, so Lair goes all like, aah! Apparently he speaks English the whole time, and he was just BSing him through the whole movie. But he was walking around of Heatstroke, and Tommy and Cat picked him up. There was something, they were being chased by the first version of the Piranatrons that were apparently human savages. And Kim tried to morph into the Zeo powers, which we actually see them, so they weren't destroyed like in Scorpion Rain. I didn't even think about that. And apparently water demorphs you halfway if you land in it.
And, like, and she was morphing backwards anyway.
Yeah,
supposed to start from the bottom up and start from the top down.
I just call the movie non-canon. So then she's like, Tommy! And then you say, Tono! And they're the same person. And then Tommy dives in after her. And they get Larigo, and Divatox is all like, I need them keys so I can unlock Dark Specter. I mean, what's his name?
Fuck. Malagor.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Magnolia. And so Zordon's like, well, we have these Zeo powers. They get stronger over time. But fuck these. And then he throws them in the trash. And he's like, we get cars. Vroom, vroom. And they're like, fuck yeah. And then they get their cars. And then they start driving in them. And they end up at the ship. Apparently they're taking a really old ship to this island where Divatox is taking them to renew Magnolia. And then at some point, Justin finds out about the Power Rangers because he's hiding under the bed, jacking off to his own cousin, being in a bed, and he sees the Power Rangers transport. And how did he end up at the command center? I don't know. He just showed up. Like, all of a sudden, Zordon just picked him because Zordon picks, like, the worst qualified. Fuck. Zordon is an ass. And so he picks Justin. Justin drives up in this car. Apparently, he knows how to drive at the age of 12. And he's like, guys, I'm the new Blue Ranger. You don't need a license to drive a Zord, lol. Which is actually a pretty funny line. And so then they all get on the ship, and it's all like, hope for the world, and shit. And they're all like hoping for the world on this, like, on the Black Pearl. And then all of a sudden they cross the Bermuda Triangle, and they're trying to get their keys, and Justin's a complete dirt face and loses his underneath the cabinet. And then they finally get it, and then the Peter Pods show up, and someone lost their voice. It was Justin. He lost his voice because of the plot called for it. And then they all kicked their asses, and they ended up on the island. And their cars came out of the boat, and I don't know. And then they all morphed, and they went to go stop Divatox, and she's like, LOL, I have Jason and Kat. I mean, Kimberly. And then she dunks him in lava, which I learned this first time watching the Power Rangers movie, doesn't incinerate you and burn you alive, it actually turns you evil. So that's a good thing to know. And then it brings out Jason's hidden angst towards Tommy. So he starts beating up Tommy, and Kat starts beating up everyone else, and they're all super strong. And eventually they break through to them, and then they release Malagor, and the Rangers, like, try to fight him, and then he grows, and they get the Turbo Megazord, and then we're back at the tournament, and then Turbo starts, in the first three episodes, potentially one of the worst openings, just for the fact that if you haven't seen the movie, all you get is, like, a 20-second music video of the movie, explaining to Rocky why he's no longer qualified to be a ranger and a 12-year-old is. And come to think of it, that's the last we see of Rocky. He was helping them set up graduation. They told him the story. Then they got doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. That was the last we ever saw of him. And he's like, all right, bye, guys. That was horrible. He wasn't even at the graduation. So the pilot basically revolves around their graduation and Justin tracking down a detonator, and it establishes the detonators. And the Divatox has decided to get revenge by attacking Earth. Apparently, Rita and Zed are MIA, and everything from the end of Zeo was retconned. And so, not a whole lot happens in the first episode, other than just establishing... Oh yeah, I forgot about Zordon. Zordon decides to leave. Because apparently, this whole time, he's just been stuck here and wanting to go home. And he really hasn't cared about them the whole time. He's like, I got my chance to go home, so I'm out, bitches. And then they bring in Dimitri on Alpha 6, who are just terrible. So, then we just get really basically a bunch of filler. Trying to think if anything major happened at all in between them. Because I watched a few episodes. Yeah, nothing really happened at all. Yeah, there were a bunch of filler up until basically... Oh, yeah, we got the Blue Centurion. The Blue Centurion showed up, and he told the Rangers about in the year 2000 how all the villains are going to team up, and one force will stand against them. It's the Gokaigers. And the message didn't get completed in time because Divatox, like, fucked with him. Like, literally, it was kind of gross. And so that happens, and then they get the transfer of powers, in which we're introduced to TJ and Cassie. TJ is incredibly fast, let me tell you. That fucker is an athlete.
So, he is black, so...
Like, Tommy and Kat, I don't even...
Awesome, his racism.
They're going camping, so they're driving, like, hope for the world, even though there's no song. And then the Piranatron start attacking them, and the car blows up, and, like, TJ and Cassie are at a bus stop, and TJ has like ultrasonic Aquaman hearing and hears him for like 3 miles away and like runs over there like the Terminator run at high speed, makes it over there, not even winded. And so Cat sees Tommy dragged off in slow motion by a fat, hairy putrepod and said, "Where did he go?" And anyway, so TJ and Cassie rescue him, and then they're like, "Oh, there's some kind of ticking time bomb for why you have to choose over your powers for whatever reason." And so Tommy and Kat choose Cassie and TJ, and Adam and Tanya choose Ashley and Carlos, because they were actually established earlier in the show, and so they choose them, and they're like, "You're the new Power Rangers, lols, and we'll never hear from these four ever again, except when we do." And then Justin's like, "What am I, chopped liver?" And they're like, "Unfortunately, no. You will stay because Beetleborgs is getting better ratings right now." They're like, "But it's made by the same company." Quiet, you.
Quiet, you.
And then so pretty much when we get filler and we go on as if these guys have been Tommy and the others the whole time. They all hang out together. They're BFF Facebook. The first major thing that really happens is we get this card from space. Lightning Cruiser and Storm Blaster. TJ again shows off his incredible athletic ability by chasing the car down and nearly catching it. Seriously, he almost caught it. He would have caught it if Lightning Cruiser hadn't stopped and like thrown him over the car. And then we get the Phantom Ranger showing up, being all mysterious and phantomy. And we have his arc with Cassie and the Ruby and all that shit, and he gives him the new Rescue Zords. And then we got more filler, and then probably the most important episode in the entire Power Rangers series, when TJ was baked into a giant pizza.
So epic.
And then,
did I ever tell you about the time I got baked into a giant pizza?
Yes! And aww. Then, this was really hard to find, like, when I was looking up the episodes I wanted to watch and stuff, because it wasn't, like, in two-parters, which is kind of weird, but there was this really good epic arc where, like, I don't remember the name of the monster henchman that, what's her face? Wasn't her like her brother or something? She brought in somebody important, and he's
her brother.
Yeah, he like stole the Turbo Megazord, and there was all kinds of epic shit going on, and it was a really good set of episodes. And then we're pretty much back to filler until the finale, in which this guy whose name's like O'Doyle Rules or something—I don't remember his name—it was something like it was Gold Boyle or O'Doyle Rules. He's like super strong. They try to fight him. The Rescue Zords are exploded. And then the Turbo Megazord melts into a double SIC, and they defeat him by shooting the turbo cannon into his mouth. And then Rygog and Elgar, being the geniuses they are, follow their teleportation like dust to the command chamber, power chamber, and then a bunch of putrids. Fuck, what are the putrids from?
Pranotrons. I don't know. Putrids are from.
Pranotrons. I keep wanting to say putrids because of the putrid pods.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Putrids from.
Wild Force. I think so. Anyway, the bunch of Pranotrons attack the power chamber. Demetria is like, "This place is about to blow out, bitches," and then she flies away. Zordon's like, "Oh fuck, Eltar is being attacked." I'm like, "That's just footage of the moon being photoshopped. You're lying." And then they come in, they blow up the command center. Divatox is like, "Lols, we won." And then some like guy comes down from Harry Potter world, and he's like, "You need to come to the Sumerian planet because Dark Spectre has commissioned it," and she's like, "Okay." And then Carlos is like, "We have to get to this Meridian planet." That was a horrible Carlos accent. You need her to come out that way. So then they're like,
"We have to get to the Sumerian planet."
Like, and then Alpha 6 is like, "Hey, look, we have a black box because we're an airplane, and it tells us to go to Nasada or something." And then they're like, "All right, who's the best person to break into Nasada?" "Justin!" "All right. That way, if he gets arrested, we're not in trouble." And then somehow, Justin breaks the security of Nasada, which is NASA, basically. And he's like crawling on the roof, jumping down, doing all kinds of crazy stealthy shit. No one notices him. And when he initially goes there just to ask to be let in, apparently the Marines don't give a shit that he looks like he was just beaten by his father and left on the side of the road. But whatever. So he breaks in, and then the Marines are like, "Get the fuck out of here, kid." And he's like, "I have a message from the Power Rangers." And then some old guy like takes off his glasses all epically, and he's like, "Wait a second. This boy is intelligent." And then he, like, whispers sweet nothings into his ear, and he believes him. And so he clears the way for the four Rangers to get on the shuttle. They're like, "Dude, we're missing someone." And Justin's like, "My dad got a Jew job." A Jew job? Fuck.
Damn, Dawson.
My dad got a new job. I can't come. And they're like, "Finally, we got rid of you." and then they jettison into space, and then it says, ooh, Gulfstream Forklog on the German DVD, which means continues next time in Power Rangers in Space.
Forklog?
I don't know. The episode was called, like, something something Divatogs. But, so, yeah. That was... Zio, I thought I did a better job of summarizing the Zio story, and I apologize.
Yeah, you did. This wasn't as fun.
Yeah, like, I was... There's too much, like, random shit that happened. But so, yeah. Zio was kind of... I mean, Zio. Turbo was kind of a mess.
It was. Like...
Like...
There was just so much going on at the same time that it just didn't work well.
Yeah, Turbo... It's really confusing for me because when I was rewatching a lot of it, like, I noticed what a giant mess it was. It was probably the most messy season you could tell, like, was going on behind the scenes, behind the scenes. But it also had a lot of pretty decent episodes. Yeah. And they actually worked around things quite well, I thought. Like,
did you mention Honey, I Shrunk the Rangers?
No, I didn't. But
that was like, supposed to be in Zio or something.
Was it?
To Turbo.
Because I watched that, and because it was like the, I was like, well, this is like the last two-parter episode before they get retcon. But I guess we should start by talking about the end of Zio and the beginning of Turbo and how that was handled.
It wasn't handled.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. Like, it was so awful. Just like,
well, Zio ended so abruptly, and then
yeah.
We get the Turbo movie, and they go out looking for Larigo, and then.
Oh yeah,
Cat's a dumbass and injures herself, and
I forgot
like,
to mention
here's turbo
summary.
Power cars for no reason at all.
The Larigo was in the pilot of like the show to bring Zordon back. He spoke perfect English, totally BSing them the whole movie. In the movie, he was all like, and the other one, he's like, "Sup, bitches." Like seriously, I thought it was funny.
Sup, bitches.
Like he talked English. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you just being an ass for the whole Turbo movie? Was your translator broken?
We got Yolita.
But yeah, I guess a lot of people, I don't know if it was ever confirmed by any writers and interviews or anything, but I guess a lot of the fan assumption and speculation is that Billy made the Turbo powers and he was supposed to be in the Turbo movie, but because David Yost like ran off set, he got taken out of the Turbo movie. Like, I like that explanation better. Like, that was supposed to be the explanation for why he was off all the time when they thought he was the Gold Ranger, is he was building the turbo powers. That would have been so much better. Like, the two explanations
like,
I would have...
I still don't know why they need them.
Well, the two explanations that I would have been good with is, one, they were upgraded versions of the Zio powers. Because Pink and Green's helmets in particular have the same exact shape... Mm-hmm. Like, the others don't really retain the same exact shape, but it would still make sense in my head that they were, like, the turbo... Zio power is upgraded, like, upgraded into turbo or whatever. That would have made so much sense. Like, if they were like, we found a way to upgrade your powers into turbo, and then that would have made sense. And the only other one that would have made sense is if the turbo power... Zio powers were destroyed, Billy built the turbo powers during that time he was away, and they were like, we needed to figure out a way to build powers because we realized we... rely on sources of power way too often. Seriously, you guys have been on like 8 quests, and we figured out we could just build this shit in our garage. Like, it just didn't make sense the way they did it. Because she morphed into Zio in the movie, and then they're just like, you don't need this shit anymore.
You don't need this. It dies when you go into water.
Yeah, it's... They handled it horribly. Like, after all the build-up and Zio was so perfectly done as the next generation of Power Rangers, Turbo was just like, lol's room...
It was like PR, like ADD version.
And like, and then Rita and Zed apparently were supposed to come back as the main villains for Turbo also. And so Divatox was
that I never heard.
Yeah, I heard that somewhere.
I didn't either, but it makes sense considering
the way it ended.
The way Zio ended, yeah.
And like, they were Divatox came up all of a sudden out of nowhere, and. I don't know. It was just so random and weird, just the way everything transpired. The whole movie was kind of weird. And Rocky's exit was... At least he got, like, an exit, but it was kind of horrible.
Yeah.
It was a terrible exit.
He got an exit. It wasn't the best of exits, but it was an exit compared to...
His exit was literally, bye!
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they got rid of Zordon and Alpha in the beginning episodes. I don't know why they did that.
I don't either.
It didn't. Alpha, he got that new, like, the new suit in the movie, right?
Yes.
So there was no explanation for that. And then so Alpha 6 looks the exact same as the new suit, and when Alpha 5 comes back for the power transfer, he has the old suit. That's how fucked up their production is. They just forgot what they did. I think that they brought in Alpha 6's suit early for Alpha 5 and forgot about it.
Yeah. And then that voice for Alpha 6.
Oh, God.
I hated that so much. We'll talk about that when we get to character.
Yeah. But, yeah, the beginning was just horribly handled. It could have been handled so much better. I really wish it would have been, like, upgrades of the powers or something and had an explanation behind Billy doing it or something. Not, like, doing it. But he ran off set. He was upset. They called him a faggot one too many times, and he freaked, and he ran off set. But yeah, it was handled pretty bad. Like, the pilot, I mean, literally, it was only a 30-second clip of what happened in the movie, so you better have seen the movie. And the only thing it really did was establish that Zordon and Alpha weren't going to be there anymore, and that Justin was going to be in high school, because apparently he's new Billy.
Yeah, although they did finally graduate, which is always good.
Yeah, they graduated at the age of 30.
I was just thinking that. God.
Like, the whole first half of Turbo felt really weird. Like, there was a couple episodes, like the Shadow Ranger one, and there was another one I watched that were actually pretty good. But it felt weird because it felt like they were trying to force the car theme down our throats, with, like, Tommy becoming a race car driver and owning a garage all of a sudden. It felt so unnecessary.
Like, yeah, Tommy, like, all of a sudden loves racing.
Yeah, and, like, him and Justin always working at the garage. Like, it was so forced.
He becomes a paleontologist.
Yeah, like...
In that time, Justin blew up the car.
Yeah, they were, like, testing it, and his shoelace got caught on the accelerator. And Tommy's like, get out of there, you little shit! And, like, threw him out.
That's my car, asshole.
Like, and he's like, sorry, Tommy. He's like, it's all right. And it's like, Jason never fucking cap in the head.
He's like, it took me 5 years to get a cool car on the show. Damn it, now you broke it.
But it was just so forced. Like, they spent so many years establishing them as, like, martial artists. And then all of a sudden, they're racing enthusiasts because the theme calls for it.
Yeah.
Like, they could have easily still transferred over to the powers without adding that element. And that element bugged me a lot. But the acting was probably the best of all the years.
Yeah, because they finally had everything down. Except for, like, the random character quirks.
Yeah, so the first half, really, nothing a lot really happened. Because, probably because of all the behind-the-scenes garbage. Like, they didn't get any new Zords or anything. They were just kind of sat there for 20 episodes ready to give over their powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I did like Adam got longer hair.
Yeah, apparently, when I was in Morphicon 1 at the Power Rangers panel, Johnny Young Bosch said that he was asked to keep his hair growing because they were considering making him Red Ranger if Jason David Frank left.
So it's the same kind of promotion scheme as in SPD.
Yeah,
just keep promoting you to Red Ranger.
I want to love that so much.
The promoting scheme.
No, Adam being red.
Oh, yeah, that would have been cool. Like, because I guess Jason David Frank, he was the one that, him and, I think it was Catherine Sutherland that were going to leave, and Tanya and Adam were fine with staying.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know what, we're just going to fire you off. So it was Jason David Frank's fault. But, yeah, that's why they were doing that. That would have been cool to have Adam as leader. But yeah. That's what he said, because he said he wanted to cut his hair and they wouldn't let him. It's like a soap opera. They're not allowed to, like, change their hair without checking.
I think I remember him saying, like, he didn't really like having the long hair.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't like Zio, because he had the long hair. It's like, everybody likes Zio. I didn't like Zio. I had long hair.
He still had it, and when he came back in space, like, he was hoping to be red. not really much story to talk about for the first half. Passing with the torch was handled rather well, I thought. Other than, like, the glaring hilarity of Catherine not knowing where Tommy was being dragged off to despite watching it happen. And, like, TJ being an incredible athlete.
Well, yeah, and there was that, but also, like, the fact that this time around, the people giving away their powers were actually in the episode.
Yeah, that was nice because it was all pretty much mutual.
Yeah.
And the fact that Tanya and Carlos were established episodes before was nice also.
You mean Ashley?
What did I say?
Tanya.
Whatever.
Same. I hope Tanya's established by now.
But yeah, they were established before, and they were both kind of hanging around Tanya and Adam. Like, he was with Adam at soccer, so they were established to know them, and it makes sense they would choose him. And Cassie and TJ made sense because they saved Tommy and Kat, so, like, they proved themselves.
Yeah.
And I thought they all were really good choices. I mean, not just in the show, but, like, their acting was all good, and I liked them as a team. I wish they would replace Justin.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, what else happened after that? The Lightning Cruiser and Stormblaster thing was always weird to me. I thought it was just a weird idea of alien cars from space.
They were funny to me just because they had their own they had like actual personality, which was strange for a car, but it was I don't know, it was funny.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, so then the Phantom Ranger stuff, it was cool the way they turned like a appearance character in Car Ranger into like a whole story.
Yeah, and that whole thing, just the whole giving of like the new Zords and whatever else, like the whole thing was just actually done fairly well as compared to, you know, some of the other times they just randomly get new Zords or whatever.
Right. And like I said, with that whole arc later where they had the Deotox's brother was really well handled also. The whole second half was really weird because it was a switch off between really weird, funny episodes like Divatox working at a pizza place and then like dramatic episodes where they almost lose.
Yeah.
And it was just a really weird switch off because obviously because Car Ranger was a parody series, they had a lot of difficulties. And there wasn't a lot of story. The end was really well done. Chase into Space was really good.
Yeah, it was. Like,
it was really epic.
They're just really good episodes.
Yeah. Like, the Zords were gone, the command center was destroyed, it was all epic, and the Rangers, like, it was just so good. Like, I love the episode.
Yeah, the one that I always think of with the whole, like, the parody and then turning into Power Rangers, was a couple. One's obviously the giant pizza, which was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then the baseball episode, I really don't know, probably because they played that one with, like, Generations. Almost every time you saw a Turbo episode, it was like, oh, here's the baseball episode.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, like, it's not permanently stuck in my head. And, but it's always funny when...
The summary on Wikipedia says, TJ is having trouble hitting a new kid's curveballs.
Well, like, it's so funny. All you ever notice is, especially, like, because in other different seasons, you sometimes can tell a switching back and forth of footage. This one was so fucking obvious, like... With the villains, Ragnar, yeah. Elgar, and Porto, like they looked so different.
They
and
looked really evil.
And then they would just switch back and forth from like looking all derp to like looking insanely evil.
Man,
and
we talked about it before how like all the old Japanese like Sentai shows, like the footage is painfully old looking, so it was really jarring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and or just the look of the area, like the little forest they're in, looks totally different than the little forest the other guys are in. And also. Yeah. I think we mentioned this, and I think I mentioned it when we did MMPR season one with Tommy. Like all the green suits, like the other ones tend they're a little bit off in color, but they are fairly close. The greens are always a large contrast in the green suits that we use and the green suit that they use. I don't know if it's that because it's a different suit,
I don't know,
or if it's some kind of a lighting issue. But whenever you see the American footage, it's always like this bright ass like green, and then the Japanese footage is like this dark, like I'm not good with colors, but it's like a dark green.
Hunter.
It's like a hunter green. It's like Kuwagata metal green. And then they come over here and they're like Kamakiri green. Lols. What? Like, no, it's the same guy. Seriously, that's two different colors.
The kids won't notice. They're stupid.
It's almost like trying to pass off Crimson Thunder and Hurricane Red as the same person. No, Red Wind and Crimson Thunder are the same. That's different colors. No, it's not, they're both red. I'm not stupid. That's.
Oh yes, you are. We fact check this with our research division with kids.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But speaking of footage, like Turbo had a lot of original footage. Like.
They did, obviously, they used Japanese footage, but they had quite a lot of original footage, at least in all the episodes that I watched for this. So, it kind of had to because of the way Car Ranger was. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember if it was the pilot or the episode after the pilot, but when they were forming the Turbo Megazord, it was like a Car Ranger joke where they were like trying to form it and they couldn't do it. And it was like really like jokey. They're like, oh, stop being silly. Oh, Justin's new. He's just playing with his new toys. Adam's like, let him. And there was one point where like Cat like ran into something and like an airbag came out, but they didn't mention it. They just pretended we didn't notice that it was like really comedic.
Yeah. Like, we don't comment on it. It didn't happen.
But I don't know. They did. I think they did a pretty good job of working their way around it with what they were given and what they wanted to do. Like, I don't know. I was expecting to like have a lot more complaints than I did when before I watched it again, but given how much of a mess of what they had to deal with, they actually did fairly decent, I thought.
Yeah, like I can agree with that. Like, I mean, I don't particularly like Turbo. There really isn't anything I like about Turbo, really, but it still wasn't bad given the fact that Car Ranger was Car Ranger.
Yeah. Like,
and then Turbo, the production behind the scenes and everything.
Yeah, it kind of fucked them over. Stuff. Like, that messed them up with everyone wanting to leave. And then it was this really awkward year in between switching over powers and Zords and keeping the same cast and deciding to switch over the suits every year and switch casts. It was like this really awkward like jumble of like four different ideas they had about how to go about doing the next season. And you could just tell, and it came across as really sloppy at the beginning. And like a lot of it really just didn't feel like PR. Like, it felt like a really cheap knockoff at times, like with Dimitri and Alpha 6. Mm-hmm. And just the whole general idea behind the turbo powers, it just felt really weird at times. But that being said, I think it had a lot more story episodes than Zeo did.
Yeah, like, looking at the list, I feel that way too. Like, Zeo was just almost all filler.
Yeah, because Zeo was all... It was basically pilots, filler, Billy, filler, Gold Ranger, filler, ending. But this one had, like, the pilot and then filler transfers, a little bit, some filler, and then they got the new cars, and then some filler, the Phantom Ranger story, a little filler, and then they had the epic, like, Zord story, and then filler, and then the end.
Also, part of what gave them a lot of material to write, even though it was kind of the same thing, was the entire first portion of the series was Divatox planted a bomb somewhere.
Yeah, that was really, like, annoying, but it was sort of unique at the same time, I guess.
Yeah, and they had the Turbo Navigator.
They wouldn't get that away with that, like, today.
Yeah, no, that would just be painfully retarded. And then they turned Balthus into a fucking monkey.
Just because, like, with bombs.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That too. I forgot about that.
The whole bomb thing. And then they turned Balkan Skull into monkeys, and that was special.
Yeah, because they wanted to do a spin-off of Balkan Skull.
Oh.
Like, have their own show.
This will probably go more.
I don't even know how that would work.
But at the end of Zeo, Balkan Skull were supposed to go be detectives in France, and then all of a sudden, they're trying to get their way back onto the police force again, and then they were turned into monkeys. There was, like, no explanation for that at all. Like, if... Just silly me... If I was thinking about making a Balkan Skull spinoff, leave them gone, pretending they're in France, and try to make the spinoff instead of bringing them back with no explanation for what happened.
Yeah, it says Zeo concluded with Balkan Skull accepting an offer to work for an agency in France top secret mission. They departed much to the dismay and frustration of Stone. This major plot point was dropped without explanation in between Zeo and the filming of Turbo of Haranger's movie. The main reason being that Zeo was originally the last series of Duo were set to appear in, with a spin-off show being planned, however this would be cancelled. And at the beginning of the movie, Balkan Skull and Lieutenant Stone are again seen working as police officers. The reason for this remains unexplained until the first episode of Power Rangers Turbo.
Yeah.
So let's look at that. At the start of Power Rangers Turbo, Balkan Skull were given a chance to rejoin the police force with Lieutenant Stone. Unfortunately, their assignment inadvertently brings them into contact with Elgar, who turns them into chimpanzees.
Yeah.
And then Lieutenant Stone takes over the juice bar.
And then in the second half, they randomly shifted from, like, a bunch of different jobs to also being cops. Like, seriously, because I remember reading this, that they spent the rest of the season trying to hold a job down, but then whenever I was watching episodes, they'd either be, like, construction workers or they'd be cadets again. Like, what's going on? These writers are fucking stoned! Like, I don't know what was going on with them. Like, they were still funny. Like, they were funnier than the first season, but their character development kind of took a weird, like, abrupt halt here because they didn't know what to do with them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And it... What?
It says, they were transformed into monkeys so Narvi and Shire would have time to work on a proposed spin-off series for the characters, which would have seen them operate a hotel featuring Elvez, the Mexican Elvis, a local personality in Southern California. The attempts never made it to final production. The actors returned full time to the series. That would have been terrible.
Oh my God! It wouldn't have lasted. It should have just been on the.
It would have been like Suite Life, except dumb.
No. And then they would have been on the ship with them. Suite Life on deck, graduation. Vulcan Skull finally graduate. Police Academy. But yeah, they kind of fucked that up. But before we get to the characters, I just have to say I enjoyed Turbo more than I thought I was going to. Like, you have to go back and rewatch it. Like, it, out of all the seasons that I rewatched for these summaries and stuff, it actually held up the best out of the remaining ones. Like, usually you have higher expectations from when you used to watch it, but this one held up the best for me. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why. It just did. So, characters now, I guess?
Yay.
So I have two sets to go over.
Okay, so, the original four, really nothing to go over, honestly.
Yeah. Nothing really happened. Tommy became a race car driver briefly, and then he went off to go meet Haley and make the Dinomorphers.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to mention about Adam is Adam actually came out of his shell quite a bit in this show.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he had a lot more personality.
Lines. Yeah, because they wanted to make him red, and then they changed their mind.
Yeah, so he was probably his best season performance-wise. Tanya basically fell into her normal role, and she was, like, slightly less new. I actually like Tanya the best of the three, like, original, like, MMPR era yellows.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, Trini just didn't evolve enough as a character, and then Aisha, just, I never really liked Aisha.
Yeah, Tanya was my favorite of the three. Let's see, one, two, three. Who's the fourth one? Oh, Catherine. Yeah. This is what she did. Tommy! All the way to the end. She did nothing. Like, they didn't grow as characters at all between the beginning of Turbo and the middle where they left. Except for Adam, who broke, but that doesn't really growing. And Rocky went to go open his own martial arts studio. Apparently he can do that at 18.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Justin since he's kind of in the middle of the two groups?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Justin.
Oh, God. Oh, Justin. Okay, because he was brought in because it was a really popular idea to have kids as superheroes because of Beetleborg, and they were competing against a show that was made by the same company, which just seems silly to me. I have such mixed feelings about it, because his acting wasn't actually that bad.
Like, people give him so much shit. Like, Blake Foster as a whole, they just like, oh, Blake sucks.
Blake's a really cool guy in real life.
But, like, he's a cool guy, and then... Like, to top it off, like, he didn't suck as Justin. The character was just written as, like, a little bitch.
Although Justin did have a few times where he was actually smart and actually pulled off shit.
Yeah, like, he was smart. And he was probably one of the most competent Rangers in Turbo.
Except when, like, that pyro guy was coming at him and he goes, and he lets him knock the key out of his hand. I'm like, what are you doing? You could have morphed already. To be fair, Adam and Tanya did it, too. They were like, oh, fuck. Like, really? Come on.
Like, everyone just, like, hates on him so much, but, like, as much as it wasn't really a fantastic character, like, I don't particularly mind him all that much. The whole Child Ranger thing, I don't like.
Yeah.
But, like, as an actor...
It worked more for Beetleborgs, just because of the setup.
Yeah, like, Beetleborgs, they were kids that liked comics, and then, like...
And they wished to be Beetleborgs, not because they had to.
Made them Beetleborgs.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh my God, Jeff sent me the theme song music video the other day, and I about killed myself. So bad. But anyway.
But yeah, like, I have mixed emotions about him because, like, half the time, like, it kind of bugged me, and then, like, he's a ranger and he's got this really kiddie voice and no one notices it. But then the other half, I didn't mind him so much, and he actually ended up being fairly interesting.
Yeah.
And like, he was an overall okay character for me.
Like, I mean, honestly, if they brought anyone back, I kind of want it to be him.
Yeah, I would actually really like to see an adult Blake Foster come back and be a ranger.
Just, like, redeem the character. And, like, he's built enough to...
Yeah.
To fit the
not bill. Have to grow this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was overall, he was okay for me. Like, I didn't totally hate him. There was times where I cringed a little bit and it bugged me, but he was okay. It's just the logic of it also gets me that they would choose a child to be a ranger at such a time of crisis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Fuck. So, it's not really. And then he just kind of left in the end, which kind of made sense because they kind of had the whole problems with his dad running throughout. And it made sense to leave for that.
Like, it wasn't very abrupt. Like, they had the whole subplot with his dad, like, not being there and then working all the time, and then...
Yeah, they had that constantly ever since, like, the first half.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, it wasn't abrupt or anything, so it was really good that he kind of left on a even ground.
Yeah.
And then he came back in space, so it was...
Yeah, that was a fun episode.
Yeah, that was.
Like, TJ was blue. He's like, you're blue?
It's like, yeah, I got demoted.
Who the hell are you? I got demoted.
Who was blue? I was blue. Detective Blue? Oh, so, moving along. TJ? TJ is the shit.
I love TJ.
I know, TJ,
like,
is so cool.
He's one of my favorite Reds, even though he was only Red once for half a season.
He's one of my favorite Rangers, period, despite that overalls he wore in that one episode.
Yeah, he's funny.
Like, he can do anything.
Like, he fucking chased that car down. He's, like, a super, like,
run past. He, like, ran down a mountain without, like, stopping or breath. I don't know where I was going with it.
I don't know either. But, like, he was really good, and his acting was good as an actor, and he fit into the Red Ranger role really well, and I really enjoyed him.
Yeah. Like,
because of the nature of the way everything played out, he didn't get a whole lot of development. Like, I mean, he got focused episodes, but he didn't really change other than being all super serious about going into space in the end, but he didn't really change. But he was executed really well, and there's a lot more to talk about with his character next season.
Yeah, like, he was a really good leader.
Yeah, I really like TJ. He's one of my favorites, and someone report is awesome.
TJ equals cool.
Carlos.
I don't like Carlos.
You don't like Carlos? You don't like his story with Susie in the next story of season?
Oh, God, I hated that. Generations would play that episode all the time.
I know.
God. Susie, come back.
Don't tell anyone I'm the Black Ranger.
I'll tell everyone if you don't take me to the amusement park. I'm like, little bitch.
Bitch, please.
Pop a cap in your ass. Or head or whatever.
Carlos was basically Mexican Adam.
Like, it was Mexican Adam that whined all the time.
Yeah, like, he's had similar hair, so I don't think that they hired him because kids wouldn't get confused.
Like, I mean, it's more of space that, like, he was, like, a whiny little bitch, but...
He was just kind of there. Like, it was nice that he was established first.
Yeah.
And that you kind of saw him with Adam, and, like, kind of Adam took him under his wing, so it made sense. But he was just kind of there. And he really didn't do a whole lot other than be green and have an accent as a Green Ranger.
Right.
Ashley, now, she stole Johnny Young Bosch's car, but that wasn't very nice.
Yeah, that's not nice.
She was a hoe. Oh, show.
Ashley was kind of just a generic cheerleader.
I didn't like Ashley, like, in the slightest. Like, people say, oh, she's got boobs or whatever. I don't.
She's got boobs?
That's Kevin's line. Boobs.
Like, her character was really bland.
Yeah, she was, like, generic.
She didn't really do anything.
Her character was boobs. That's why they hired her.
Like, Cassie and TJ just had so much dynamic going, and then Carlos and Ashley were just like, we're here.
They were like bricks.
They were like, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
Like, Cassie was pretty good in Turbo. Like, she had the whole thing with Phantom Ranger, which was nice. And
yeah, I like Cassie. She was all Asian and stuff.
She's in some kind of insurance commercial now or something. But Cassie and TJ were definitely the best characters out of the new set.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, the other two did get better moments in space, which, like I said, is for next time. But these two got the best focus in Turbo, and Cassie had a nice storyline with a Phantom Ranger. And fortunately, next season, TJ's baseball dreams are completely dropped.
Oh, well.
And I like how Cassie's like, I'm heading to Stone Edge or wherever she was going. That's an attack.
Stone Canyon.
Yeah, and then she just never goes.
Stonehenge.
She just, like, got off the bus in Angel Grove. Parents are like, oh, where's Cassie? Whatever. Whatever. My voice is broken.
Whatever.
And it did kind of bother me in a way that they all just kind of immediately were like BFFs, like it had always been that way. Mm. And there was no real transition into like them getting to know each other.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
And like immediately Bulk and Skull act as if they've known them the whole time.
It's like, who are you guys? Your best friends. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Tommy never existed. It's always been TJ.
And then there was I only speak in questions.
Like, oh, Demetria. Yeah.
Go blow yourself.
I didn't like Demetria at all. That was one of the worst decisions they made.
Demetria was terrible.
I don't even know why they brought her in. Other than
like, Divatox's sister.
Like, did the guy that plays Zordon or voice Zordon or whatever want to leave?
Yeah, the article for him doesn't mention anything.
Well, like, that was stupid because it would have been more, like, emotional, I guess, if he would have stayed on throughout the whole thing and then near the end being like, Eltar's in trouble, I gotta go help him. And then they find out he was kidnapped and then go to save him because this is more, I hate to keep saying this, more for next season, but it takes the emotional impact out of them wanting to save Zordon next season when they only met him for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So... like,
so go to save Zordon. Like, I know they probably got filled in on how Zordon's, like, gone, yeah. But...
like, Mike, you don't even know him. Like, Andros knew him off-screen, but... like, he should have just stayed and then ran off to Eltar and got kidnapped at the end instead of bringing Demetria in, because we never saw her again.
I didn't like Demetria.
She was too... even Tommy got pissed off at her.
Questions.
She kept speaking in questions, and Tommy's like, shut the fuck up, bitch, and tell me what to do. Zordon would be on this. He would be sending me out to get blown up by our own ally. Like, seriously, what are you doing, Demetria?
And she's just like, well, I'm not Zordon, am I?
And Alpha 6 was just horrendous.
Now I have to think about where to go to get blown up by my own ally.
This is ridiculous. That's it, I'm getting replaced by an athlete. Like, I just really didn't like them. I didn't like Alpha 6 until he got a personality transplant to Alpha 5 next season.
Yeah, Alpha 6 just pissed me off. I pretend like...
Alpha 6 is like, hey, you, TJ,
yo.
What is wrong with you?
Yo.
That was one of the dumbest decisions they've ever made in Power Rangers history.
I'm like, no, you bitch, go into space, get your voice box broken, and start getting voiced by Wendy Lee. And then we'll talk.
Like, I honestly don't know why they did that. I kind of want to know. Like, did they have to get rid of everyone when the main cast left?
I guess they wanted a clean slate except for Justin.
That was their gimmick and they were sticking to it.
I don't know.
Bulk and Skull, I think, are the last characters to go over, unless I'm forgetting anyone. Lieutenant Stone,
Blue
briefly.
Centurion, Phantom.
Oh, yeah, Blue Centurion. Well, he didn't really do much other than show up.
Yeah, like,
he's all, I'm Deneb.
He showed up, he's like, I have a message for Obi-Wan Kenobi from Princess Leia.
Wrong show, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly like, what it reminded me of.
RoboCop was cool.
Yeah,
he was a cool, like, character and stuff, but he just didn't really do anything.
He was a supporting character. He didn't do much other than, like, randomly help old ladies cross the street and have, like, kind of funny moments of doing, like, general good deeds and then getting, like, attacked by a fly and attacking the Rangers. But he was just a cool... he was a cool concept of, like, an intergalactic police force. Like, he's part of the intergalactic police. I'm like, he's a plumber?
He's a part of SPD.
But he was a cool concept and just a cool guy to add to the universe, but he didn't do a whole lot in the show.
Yeah. Phantom Ranger, on the other hand, did a lot-ish.
Yeah, despite...
Phantom Ranger was cool.
Yeah, he was.
Like, we don't
whoever
know
who
he was.
Yeah.
He never got a face.
His ruby powered him, though, as we know that.
Yeah, his ruby powered him.
But he had a good story with Cassie and kind of got sort of developed that way, like with bonding with the Rangers and
yeah,
getting the swords.
Like Cassie wanted to bang him, even though we don't even know if he.
I know. For all he know, he was like an octopus underneath
could
there.
Could have been a robot, an alien, a
maybe
a zombie.
She likes the tentacles,
Jaden?
Just like Shuki likes the tentacles.
God. Shut up.
But he had some good development. He was a cool character, and that's one of the things I liked about when Saban was being innovative. Is they would take something like that, who he just showed up in one episode, and they turned him into an entire sixth Ranger character that would have a story arc even next season.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that, I don't know if they did this so much here, but they toyed with the idea of making him Zordon's son, which would have been a cool idea.
That would have been really cool.
Was Jedlin writing on this season?
I believe so.
Because I think it was him. It was an interview with somebody that said that one of their explanations was going to be it was going to be Billy or something like that. And I was like, I really would have loved to have been Zordon's son, because when he came to Earth, they said he was from Eltar.
Yeah.
So wait, it would have been cool.
Let me read this real quick. No. It says, okay,
just kidding. It was a joke.
Phantom Ranger stands as the only PR whose true name, race, species, and identity are a mystery. Little is revealed about the Phantom Ranger throughout his appearances. In fact, he never identifies himself as Phantom Ranger when he first appears. The name is given to him by the Turbo Power Rangers due to his ability to become invisible like a phantom. And his armor, which loosely resembles the armor worn by other rangers, it's worth noting that Phantom Ranger Sentai counterpart VRV Master was not a ranger himself, but an ally. Through his life is dependent on his power ruby, it is not made clear from where his powers come from. It is also unknown whether his armor is his actual body. Rumors persist that he is from Eltar and has a connection to Zordon, but this was never proven canon. In fact, the space shot of his planet from Countdown to Destruction Part 1 doesn't match the one of Eltar seen in Chase in the Space Part 1. Other rumors suggest the Phantom Ranger was to demorph in Countdown to Destruction Part 2 and reveal his identity. Another persisting rumor is that he was to have his identity revealed at one point in the space series, but budgeting issues forced the relevant episode to be cut.
Yeah, I heard
poor
that
guy.
Too. Yeah.
He got Phantom fucked Ranger. Like 3 times.
Just like the Gold Ranger, Brad Hawkins or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of cool that he remained a mystery in some ways, but I still like to know.
Yeah, like, I would have liked him to, like, demorph and Countdown to Destruction too. Like, have, like, 2 seasons of build-up and then finally reveal something.
He was just kind of there.
It's as epic as a Kamen Rider letdown.
Yeah, this happened.
They're going to build you up and then do nothing.
As for Vulcan's skull, like, there just really isn't too much to talk about him this season.
It was, to be honest, it was a mess for Vulcan's skull. Like, even more so than the show. Like, the monkeys thing, I didn't really like it at all. I mean, obviously, it really wasn't, like, planned to do that.
Yeah.
And then the random shifting of jobs. Well, I mean, when I did see them, there were some entertaining things, and they were a lot funnier than the original, like, oh, cake and face gag.
Yeah.
It was just really random, and it had no focus, and it just really kind of bugged me all around.
Like, unlike Zio and stuff, where they had, like a mini storyline going on throughout the entire season, this one is just, like, we're trying to keep these guys here.
Yeah, like, we're really trying hard. And then Lieutenant Stone just owns the juice bar because Ernie's off saving the Amazon. Like, building a bridge.
Arm Amazon.
Oh, God.
Ernie's Amazon.
But I that's one thing that bugged me is I hated how they always had to have some noble excuse for leaving instead of just being like, he won the lottery and he went to go just be in a mansion and be awesome. Like, seriously. That's one thing I keep forgetting to mention is I it bugs me how preachy early Power Rangers was.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing I don't miss in television today. The only children's television shows that are preachy are, like, the preschool kindergarten hours that are on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were just kind of a mess. What's next?
Virens.
Virens.
Okay.
Divatox's bunch was the most ridiculously stupid bunch of villains ever.
Divatox was 2 different people.
Exactly.
I know. It's because the other one got pregnant.
Yeah.
Probably Tommy's.
And then she was on Deep Space Nine.
Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, because it was comedy, all the villains, I mean, the monsters looked stupid.
Like,
Divatox was just a raving lunatic.
She was. Like,
I know. Like, oh, she was kind of funny, though.
Toxic Diva, I'm like, fuck you. Why are you here? Why is it Rita?
Diva, Diva!
And, like, Elgar, and it was just... I really didn't
Elgar
like the villains.
Elgar was the only one that was okay with me.
That's why he came back in space.
Just because he was voiced by Derek Stephen Prince, and he was just okay.
What?
Some guy named Prince.
Derek Stephen Prince. He voiced Impmon in Digimon Tamers.
Oh, fuck yes! Love Impmon. Team Crossover for life. but I really, as a whole, like, Divatox kind of proved herself by defeating the Power Rangers. Like, the first person I think ever do it.
Yeah, she defeated a bunch of noobs.
Well, yeah, that's...
And Justin.
Yeah, like, that was my explanation when I was young, is that the reason they were defeated and, the Zords were destroyed is because they were new, and they were rookies, and they weren't experienced. Which
they have to destroy the Megazord. That's not how this works.
But she was the first person to do that, and, like, but... As a whole, they have probably my least favorite villain group ever. Like, it was just the most ridiculous. It was over the top.
I can probably vouch for
that, too. Like, because Zed and Rita, like, they got toned down, and but their humor was sometimes funny or just generally like, oh, you. And just generally sort of expected. But their humor was so over the top weird and unnecessary that it... Oh, I just didn't like them at all. It just... They didn't do anything for me whatsoever.
Yeah. General Havoc, on the other hand, was good.
Yeah, he was cool. But, I mean, I'm talking about just, like, her crew that was mainly there.
Porto, Rygog, Elgar, Divatox, they were dumb. The Pranatrons were pretty cool.
Yeah, they were. It was kind of cool the Pranatrons in the movie were, like, people.
Yeah.
Wasn't... I could be wrong. Was Rygog the main villain in Car Ranger?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of Time Force, where the fat guy
is. Yeah, the little fat frog was the main guy in Time Ranger.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And he was just like a side character in Time Force that was hardly ever there.
I know, that's so funny. But...
No, the, Well, I don't even know what I was going to say anymore. I forgot.
He's really trying hard to stay awake. I can tell.
I forgot what I was going to say totally. It's something about them. And I totally
but the villains were just stupid. They didn't have any development or anything. Zed and Rita made a cameo in the movie. Laughing about how it's impossible to feed the Power Rangers.
Yeah, they were in that pilot. Well, no, that was space. Never mind, the space pilot.
They were in the pilot.
Shut up.
I'm sure I would have liked to do the movie if I was in the pilot, but I really would have preferred Zed and Rita coming back.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the Piranatrons were all new. Those colored guys were the. The grunts in Car Rangers.
Yeah,
huh?
They did that a lot in early Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Pantrons
too. And Tangas.
Thank you, bye-bye.
But so, yeah, villains is overall terrible. They're terrible. Should we talk about...
There's a nice little paragraph here about the transition from Zeo to Turbo that I suggest our listeners read because I don't want to read it.
What is it about? What do you mean? Like, production-wise?
Yeah, you know, it says the powers and stuff. Not really production, but just like trying to explain why the powers are there and stuff. I can read it if you want me to, but
no, it's okay. I'll just read it later. I was just curious what it was about.
Okay. It's at the very bottom of the page. I'm going to link to in the
description.
Show
notes, so, all right. So suits? Should we talk about suits?
Yeah, we can talk about suits next. Then we'll do robots, and then we'll do
sense.
Music.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
I didn't like them.
I thought they were okay. Like,
they were okay. At the time, they were my least favorite.
Yeah, like, I don't hate them, but they were just okay. Like I said, they look like upgraded Zeo suits to me. That's what it would be a nice explanation for them.
Too bad.
Not too bad. Shut up. Like, they were okay.
Yeah, they were just okay to me. I mean, like... MMPR was so iconic that I liked them. Zeo was a really cool upgrade because it was something really new.
Yeah, and they looked all like Zeo.
I just like ninjas, so the Alien Rangers were cool with me. But these guys, they were just very mediocre, and they're still very mediocre to me.
They're still only okay. And like their whole like drastic theme change really didn't fit Power Rangers at the time.
Yeah.
Like it fits now because you transition a different theme every season, but the way everything was going, like from the transition from the MMPR suits to the Zeo suits was all kind of in the same like Power Rangers bubble, but this one was just so out there. Mm-hmm. But the suits were all right.
Yeah. Phantom Ranger was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was
cool. Yeah, I like Phantom.
Cool armored, awesome dude. He's all around
cool
guy.
It's
like motocross helmet.
Yes.
But Blue Centurion takes the cake for awesome design of the season.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Cool.
And he had like a badge that turned into a gun and like a baton sword. That's awesome.
Like, I would... Honestly, I wish SPD just had an army of these guys.
That would have been a good idea.
Because he's, like, his space police.
That's
what SPD was. Like, half of SPD is just these guys.
They don't even need SPD.
Fuck people, we've got Centurions.
I know. He was cool. I liked his suit.
He was like, bro, you told stuff.
You Oh, that's funny.
Again, villain design.
Yeah, the villain design. Because all the Car Ranger stuff was supposed to be comedic, so all the villains were shitty. That's why they had to come up with that funny explanation in Dino Thunder.
Yeah. I made my monsters by fusing shit together.
Divatox looked like a a Halloween sex costume, you see, like when around Halloween. Did. Like, yeah. Dress up a sexy pirate for Halloween. See a picture of Divatox.
It didn't hurt that Carol What's-Her-Face, like, had a boob issue with the costume. Like, I swear to God, she had to force those things in there.
Probably. And then they were like, I don't know, they were both Demetria or something. I don't know what the hell happened.
Like, it was, Divatox was Demetria's sister or something?
They hinted at it, but they never went
through.
They thoroughly hinted at it.
But, I mean, they went down to the fact that in space, Divatox turned into Demetria.
Yeah.
Just with, a very Divatox ish face, because her face was actually revealed as opposed to Demetria's hidden one.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they were.
Demetria was like a shunned woman.
That would leave the question on
the Middle East.
Divatox's mom, that was referenced a couple times throughout the season.
Yeah, she had,
and her brother.
See, but yeah. Maybe she was adopted.
Maybe.
Maybe
she was a little godchild that.
Maybe she decided that she needed to be a space pirate, and he's like, from this point on, I should be known as Divatox. And then Cam's like, no! We have to kill her now!
Maybe she was another kidnapping of Wakanda.
And then Colonel Truman's like, no, we cannot judge her for her crimes, and then sent her into space. That's exactly what happened.
Maybe she was another kidnappee of Darkonda.
Probably. Maybe Demetria, Demetria was kidnapped and given to the Middle East, and she got that whole turban thing going on. And then she ended up in a tube because she misbehaved one too many times. You shoot an ankle into the tube.
How did she get
a turban thing
tube?
And became...
That's because that's where Zordon was. I don't even think she was there. I think she was just, broadcasting.
She's just hanging out in her room.
Like, honestly.
She got the whole turban look, became Bora Kawani.
Lightning Cruiser was a 96 Camaro?
Really?
That's what Wiki says.
I still want that Kevin 11 real car they were giving away during the movie. I want to drive that shit around. It would have been awesome. It would stick out so much, but it would be awesome.
Alright, so robots?
Yeah. Robot
Damasu.
So Turbo Megazord. I kind of like the Turbo Megazord.
Turbo Megazord I like.
Like, it was simple. Yeah. The I like how Johnny Young Bosch wanted to make a joke about getting a minivan in the Turbo movie in reference to, the frog. Like, I'm a minivan. Like, Lightning Cruiser. Red Lightning. There we go.
Dude, these are from... whoever made this Wikipedia article is pissing me off.
Why?
Red Lightning Turbo Sword, a Pontiac Fiero race car. It's from the Sentai. Dude, they really...
I don't know. But, the Zords on their own were that spectacular.
Desert Thunder's a Chevrolet Astro. Okay. Whatever.
The Desert Thunder's a Zord, bitch. I'm Big Bird.
Mountain Blaster, a Ford F-Series 4x4 pickup.
I don't think so. It's a Mountain Blaster.
I don't think the people that were designing Car Ranger were looking at actual models of cars when they were making this.
No, they weren't.
But they were looking at Constellation.
The Zords, on their own... weren't that great looking, but when they came to the Megazord, it was a pretty decent looking first Megazord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I liked their finisher where they spun and, killed shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
Probably really sick after that.
And then there was the... Oh, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I liked them. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. And then there was Blue Centurion's... I forgot what it's
Robo
called.
RoboRacer?
Yeah.
RoboRacer.
Yeah, I love RoboRacer.
It's so cool.
Because it was, reminding me of Transformers at the time, so...
He's yeah. Really cool to transform. He's cool.
I was like, it's a police car. New.
Police. It's the police.
It's called the
police. They had Robo Racer, and then Phantom came in and gave them all Robo Racers.
Basically.
Rescue Zords.
I like the Rescue Zords. Mode.
I like the Rescue Zords. I like it. I don't hate them at all. I like them as a whole. I like that they transformed into little robots. When it comes into a Megazord, I kind of like the original Turbo Megazord better.
Yeah.
What's wrong, Wikipedia guy? You don't know what brand a fire truck Lightning Fire Tamer is?
Bitch, I am big.
I'm gonna need you to calm down.
Sorry.
Brian's smack talking to Wikipedia.
But it was one of my favorite toys was the Rescue Megazord because they could have five little robots.
Yeah, the robot thing was cool and it kind of reminded me of Zeo.
Even
like
the damn stickers keep coming off.
Robots that came into a robot? That's not gay.
I liked the Rescue Zords, but the Rescue Megazord itself I didn't like too much.
I thought it was okay, but I prefer the original design.
Yeah, because he was kind of big and bulky. I like the...
And that Artillatron thing.
Artillatron was dumb.
Yeah, that really
was. Artillatron was like my least favorite carrier Zord, just because all it was like a parking garage that
it moved. Just like ran around. It was like, hey, look, I can give you cannons.
And it was our first season without an Ultra Zord.
Yep.
Dun dun dun.
So there's that. I sat there sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm like, why is there no Turbo Ultra Zord?
That's okay. It would have been like just the Zords going into Artillatron, and then
so yeah.
They route their firepower to his cannons, and that's the Ultra Zord. It's about as shitty as Zeos.
Yeah.
That's about it for Zords, pretty much. They're pretty sparse.
Yeah, that's all they really had. Although they had that thing where they come. What?
Hive mind. About to say exactly what you were just going to say, so say it.
But where they swap the parts on the Megazords, I'm like, look, we can do arm swap.
Yeah.
Rescue Turbo Megazord lulls. This is just silly. What I really wanted to see was the other direction. I wanted to see them put the little small Zords on the giant lightning truck. That would have been freaking hilarious.
Giant fire truck with these little limbs.
It's like T-Rex. Like,
Midget Zord.
Midget Zord. He prefers little people Zord.
It's kind of favorite.
He prefers mini Zord.
I am mini Zord.
No, you are Amazon.
You're right.
But okay. Yeah, that was interesting thing to do, I guess.
So
I don't understand why it makes them more powerful, but whatever.
Music?
I honestly don't remember too much of it. The theme was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked the theme.
And it had multiple verses.
And I like that it included the background main MMPR, dun 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 no no, just kept it in there for I don't know, just nice.
For posterity's sake.
Yeah. And it was a good theme.
I think this was the first theme that wasn't by Wasserman, right?
Was it? I don't know.
I thought Turbo was the first one done by Superpower.
Because he did Space.
Yeah, I know he did Space.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he didn't do Zio. I don't, or Turbo, I don't
know. It feels like the same voice, though. I don't know. Doesn't matter right now. Point is, it was a pretty decent theme.
Yeah,
it was a good theme. And then it was shifting into turbo gear, what the fuck is it called? Shifting into turbo.
Yeah.
The
turbo soundtrack was pretty fun.
Yeah.
The turbo soundtrack.
In the show there wasn't a whole lot of songs. Like I think maybe there was one I heard, a background, theme they had for Gold Ranger and stuff, about Turbo, I think. But yeah. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot, just the generic MMPR sound effects, Balkan Skull music, and generic Peaceful Time juice bar music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really a whole lot going on. It was actually pretty bare.
Probably a way of cutting costs from all the footage they had to make.
They had to
compensate the budget some kind of way.
Yeah. There wasn't really a whole lot going on that front. So that's it for music. Took four seconds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there just really wasn't anything to to talk about.
So, final thoughts?
Turbo was there.
There.
Basically,
it was okay.
It was okay for what it was worth and for what it had to go through. But, As for a season as a whole, it just at the time I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed MMPR and Zio as a kid anyway.
As a kid, I was mostly sad Tommy was leaving. So
mostly that was my whole thing. I was really bitter toward the new guys at first.
Yeah,
because they took place in Tommy, the guys that I loved. Know.
Yeah,
eventually for with Space and stuff, I ended up liking them a whole lot, but.
Stop rolling around.
Sorry. Yeah, I loved TJ once they got the space, but at first I was like, no, you can't replace my Tommy. Yes, he's my Tommy, not your Tommy.
No, don't steal him.
I can do
that.
Oh,
wait, I have Date.
Dang it.
to wash my hands on him.
Yeah, it was an okay season. I still am not a fan of the idea of Little Kid as a Ranger, but at the time I was like, damn it, Little Kid as a Ranger. Why couldn't I be a Ranger?
Yeah, I know, right?
it wasn't me.
It was perfect for me because I was like the same age as Justin when I was watching Turbo.
Yeah.
So it was like I can be a Ranger too, yay!
I wanted to be a Beetleborg because that's what all the cool kids were. I wanted to be the white. That's beautiful.
That guy was a douche. I was like, no.
So I liked it when I was a kid. The whole kid being a Ranger thing, because I was a kid at the time, so I'm like, yay! Like, looking back at it now, it's just kind of dumb, because I'm not a kid
anymore. It's dumb from a logical perspective.
Yeah.
Like, most of the originals are, like, just based on qualifications. Take it too literal. That's just sitting in silence.
What else to say?
Well, I'm just waiting for Brian to be done.
I'm done.
Okay. So the podcast is over now because it only gives us thoughts. No, I'm kidding. Okay, well, Turbo, it was really confusing for me because when I was getting ready to watch it and I was looking at the episodes and remembering, I'm like, this season was a fucking mess. But it actually ended up not being too bad when I rewatched them, at least the key episodes.
The final battle was so epic.
Well, yeah, the final battle was good. And, like, the key episodes I watched, like, all, like, MMP through Zero are really nostalgic, but a lot of their old episodes were kind of hard to watch and just really kind of boring when you're older. But Turbo's were actually more entertaining and had a lot more dramatic stuff, and for whatever reason, like, some better choreography in some senses. I don't know why I thought that. But, like, the martial arts was more elaborate. And it's, like, more explosions and stuff, which, like, you can't really attribute to being good. But I just thought it was easier to watch for me. I don't know why. It was a really messy season. Like, you could tell it was a mess, but they really did the best they could with as much changes that were going on. And they really struggled to find a direction, but I think that they ended up doing a good job in steering it in the right way they needed to get to space. Right. Like, when the Blue Centurion came in with that whole war thing, he kind of got the date a little bit wrong, but he set it up pretty well to head towards that final battle we're going to have next season. And the cast transition was handled well, and the new cast ended up holding up pretty good, except for Carlos and Ashley and Ironhide. And I thought it was an overall okay season. I thought that it had a lot more story than Zeo. So in a lot of ways, I almost enjoyed it more than Zeo. That seems weird that I would say that now. But
the thing about that final battle is that actually, in doing what they did with the whole last few episodes, with we gotta destroy this Megazord, and then like wave after wave of just bad guys coming at them, it pretty much set up every other season to do something similar.
Yeah.
Which was okay, because, I mean, most of them came out pretty well, so it was... But it was pretty epic, and then they pretty much tried to top themselves, I think, every year after that.
Well, and then also, in doing that, they explained why they couldn't use anything they previously had, unlike Zeo.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that. Of course, after that, they started with the whole we're changing everything every year, so it didn't matter anyway.
Yeah, really did.
But had they decided to, like, just keep people... Of course, if they kept the same people, it would have gotten old. Like, stop destroying your crap, God!
I know. Yeah. Like, I don't really mind Zords getting destroyed in the end. The powers always kind of bug me in later seasons, just because when they have to bring him back... Because, like, in Sentai, it doesn't matter because it's always non-canon, so you could do whatever you want. But, like, here, the team-ups are canon, so it was always had to come up with an explanation of why they had the powers back. Or, like, why they would get it back later in, an anniversary episode. It's like, why did they bother destroying the powers? Ninja Storm's a good example of that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to Ninja Storm.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But they found a way to actually bring them back as opposed to just, hey, I randomly have my powers again.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just seemed, I guess, to explain why they're not active. Like,
yeah.
I always wonder that, like, Tommy and Adam are just sitting around like, oh, look, that city's being destroyed. Bitch, I'm retired. And they just kick their feet up at Bulkmeyer's, which is never seen again.
A Zeomorph just sitting on the shelf collecting dust.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't need this. I got a cool dino gem now. Yes, roar! Roar! Yes.
That would have been funny if, and then when they went to Dr. Oliver's house in Dino Thunder, he just had a Zeonizer just sitting on the shelf.
It's like on display.
Sitting on the bookcase. What's that? Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
It's like behind glass. In case of emergency, break glass.
In case of Hibiki.
Oh, that'd been funny.
Oh, God. So,
now time for four.
Final things!
Yeah, it was done right this week. Comment on the Samriser. This sucks. You're telling me.
You're talking to the guy who bought one.
You know what? It got 68,000 views, so shut up.
Jesus Christ.
He's asking me if this is Geki Elephant is the Japanese version.
It tells me 68,000 people wasted their time.
Yeah.
They got 68,000 views.
Yeah. Wait, might be a little off. Let me check. So I'm not, like, lying. But while I'm looking for that, we have some RAM boards to announce.
I have a thingy and it's not final.
RAM boards?
Yes. Yes,
we talked
yes,
about, like,
yes.
We talked about it when Kevin wasn't here.
So we talked about it multiple times.
Yeah. That was a big announcement we, like, hyped for 10 weeks.
Yes. The RAM boards were those things that we were like, oh, something's cool's coming in, like, a week. And then we got pushed back and back and back.
81,688 views. Sorry.
Your mother's a homosexual.
81,688.
Oh my God.
I told you.
Christ on
earth. People eat that shit up.
So, anyway, yeah. So those are now live and open for public beta.
Yay.
Working out the kinks still. We have a really small user base, so, like, threads aren't as active as Range Board or ACGU, but the only way they're going to be active is if people come and join us. So,
please, HJ Who?
Listeners, join the HJ Who revolution and join the RAM boards today. We've got a bunch of, like, I'm trying to sound like I'm trying to advertise on it now, but we got, like, so many cool ass features that, like, I didn't know were ever available in message boards. But, like, we've got, like, this section where you can, like, make a blog. So you can make your own little mini blog attached to your account. We've got a classified section, so you can make like a little tiny store and sell your useless shit that you don't want.
Probably Nishuki.
Twitter integration, Facebook integration. You can post your own status updates on the board.
Mood lonely.
What else do we do? We got a whole bunch of shit to go off of. So, like, this is one of the most, like, socially interactive forums that I've ever been to.
Honestly.
With stores and blogs and everything integration and status updates and friends and all that stuff. So,
I read the announcement about it on our site and I'm like, I didn't even know you. I'm like, this is so cool. I'd never heard of half of this stuff before in my life.
I didn't know forums.
He turned Irish. He was so excited.
I work at the place. I'm like, this is amazing.
So
I don't know what Rio did, but damn.
Join us.
Come join the 38 of us that have already joined the HJ Who Revolution and
use your aggressive feelings and join the dark side.
Currently,
and then drag your friends in.
Me and Google.
Wave your hand in front of your friends and convince them to join too.
Right.
If your parents try to stop you, throw it in their faces.
A little bit of Ivan's Ooze.
There we go. You got it. I was like, it's a dead room.
I wasn't listening, so I'm sorry.
Oh, I need to pay attention more.
Well, I was looking at the threads that didn't have threads yet.
There's a Doctor Who thread. What is up with all these people in Doctor Who and My Little Pony? Somebody please tell me. People commenting. Tell me what is so awesome about My Little Pony. I want to know.
You know what's awesome? There's three things that are awesome about it. The Black Plague. The Spanish Inquisition. The Brady Bunch Reunion.
Oh, funny.
Ooh, someone opened a Transformers Prime thread.
Ooh, I still have to catch up on that.
You should, it's really good.
I don't know why I fell behind. Something happened, and I saw a shiny ball.
Like, I'm not used to watching so many programs every week. Like, I've got Transformers Prime and Samurai and, like, Cross Wars, Tiger and Bunny.
I still have to catch up on that, too. Ben 10.
Well, that's not a weekly thing yet.
Should be.
Well, we never promoted Tiger and Bunny. We need to promote Tiger and Bunny.
Well, let's do that right now.
So
because it's such a cool show.
If you go to viz.com and go to their video section, they've got episodes of an anime called Tiger and Bunny. Go to the Wikipedia for those of you that want a summary on what the show's about. But in short, it's basically superheroes who get sponsored.
It's awesome. It's like Captain Amazing from Mystery Men.
And one of them sponsored by Bandai, one's by Tamashii Nation sponsorship, one's Pepsi, one's got SH Figure Arts on his chest. Like, that's just wild.
Figure Arts that advertises Figure Arts. Fuck yes.
I know, which is they're making the figure out of Wild Tiger, and he's got Figure Arts on his chest. It is amazing, it is epic, it is fantastic.
He's
it's
got
awesome
Figure Arts on his arm. He's got SoftBank on his chest.
Whatever. It's the same difference. He's got it on his body. He's advertising his own product.
So, like, everything that's, like, besides, I think the in-house sponsors are fictional, but all of the, like, logos on their bodies and on their suits are all actual Japanese companies that paid to be on the show. So,
yeah,
it's,
Ustream,
it's, like, part
there's,
true.
Ustream, Calbee, that's, like, it's hilarious, like... So one character just runs around, doesn't save anyone, just stands in the background promoting the sponsors. Like, it's awesome. So, I was in the shot, boss. Did you see? Good job.
Good joke. And in fact, I'm starting the thread right now.
Tiger and Bunny thread?
Yes.
I need to catch up on that.
I gotta watch the last week's episode. I forgot to watch it. So
I have to watch 2, 3, and 4 because I've been watching Turbo.
Well, you need to do that.
I've been making portals and playing Turbo. Remember that time we said we were going to murder you? That was fun.